Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Hey, what up, man? It's balls deep sports time. It's me, your host Rod. I'm joined as always by my co-host Justin. What's going on, Jay True?
Actually, I'm starting to feel a little violated.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, you want to show me booties and then ask for my name and say hello.
Well, I almost called you Jay Shin, so I'm just lucky I got your name right. For people that watch the show live, they know what we're talking about. For those of you who don't, this is why you should watch the show live. You just missed an hour of us fucking around. But yeah, man, it's balls deep sports, man. You know how we do. We actually have a ton of sports news. I don't know why I wasted all that time fucking around today. Let me play our theme song so we can get right into this shit, man.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about positive traits. Give a pound into a feeling. Make a South Mouth salivate. King Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
No problem. Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that.
You could never remember
We're talking about balls deep in love. All right. We got an email. This is from 2 weeks ago. My bad, Jared. Meant to talk about this a while ago. But apparently, he has some issues he want to talk about balls deep sports. He says, what up, Rod and Justin? This is Jay Sarge. And since I can't make it today, I got a few questions. First, why is T.O. still holding out hope that someone wants to play him to play wide receiver in the NFL? The damn Arena Football League didn't want him 2 years ago. So why would he keep trying to float out these stories? Man, this is the first I heard of this. T.O. trying to make it to the NFL again?
Yeah, he's been trying out for a while.
Well, I mean, maybe the Panthers could sign him. I mean, they don't got no wide receivers, but I can't imagine a scenario where I would want this nigga on any team of mine.
Now, is the question, why is he trying to do it, or why is he getting workouts?
Yeah.
Because he got child support, bro. He owe money.
That's true. His baby mama keep on holding him down, y'all. His homies keep on bailing him out. And she keep on running her mouth, so.
But
he need to do for his child.
I don't know if a network hasn't given him a chance to maybe just, start commentating, or if he won't humble himself to do it.
This is why you don't burn bridges, by the way. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much what happened. Everywhere he went, he ended up shitting on the quarterback, shitting on the team. Everything was their fault. Nothing was his fault. And then years later, when you want to have a career afterwards, you can't really get a career in football because you're not worth the headache of putting you on anybody's team. I think Chad Johnson proved that, and he's never been as malicious as Terrell Owens. And even him getting, by the way, him getting fired on NFL Hard Knocks on HBO. One of the top funniest clips ever.
It's why I watch Hard Knocks every year.
Yeah, dog. Like him getting let go. Well, he walked up in there at like 4 a.m. like with the assistant coach, and he was trying to explain to the assistant coach. The assistant coach was like, oh, you don't even need to waste your time explaining.
He really was a few seconds from crying.
Yeah.
And had to suck it up.
He tried to pretend like he still had a chance, dog. Philbin was like, nigga, are you serious?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Like, yeah. He's like, feel like, he's like, what happened, Chad? Well, it was just some incidents and stuff, I feel like I've been learning the playbook. And they're like, we don't care. No, Chad, let's be honest. You ain't got a job.
I think he would have been straight had he not went to the Patriots first.
Well, he couldn't learn that playbook, and it's like, if you can't learn to play with Tom Brady, like, that's really bad on you. You know what I mean? Like, people still thought he was somebody.
Yep.
Like, if he would have went straight to the Dolphins, you could have been like, oh, it's the Dolphins. That's what's fucking him up. Like,
yeah, he'd have got two more chances after the Dolphins.
Right.
If he'd have went there first.
Yeah. But yeah, T.O., man, I hadn't heard these stories, and I'm just assuming that he's making the rumors up himself.
Nah, he's been trying to get on the team for a while. He got cut from that Arena League team a few years ago.
But I feel like if there's any current rumors, if we look up the source, it's going to say, like, retweet Terrell Owens, retweet Adam Schefter. According to sources, Terrell Owens is thinking about trying out for the 49ers. You know what I mean? And it's going to be like, when you clicked on the tweet, this will be like, well, did Adam Schefter send that out earlier? Nah. Terrell just copied and pasted. Second, how do you feel about the Panthers having six wide receivers on the roster with a career total of 5 cap? Bad, nigga. Real, real bad for Cam.
Yep. Yeah, so, we did cover that without
email,
but
yeah.
I mean,
there's only one way to feel. None of them niggas are good, so I feel bad for Cam.
Just know if you're watching the games, even at home, put your goggles on, because it's going to be some blood and guts.
It's going to be blood and guts when Steve Smith show up and get 500 yards on their ass just to prove a point.
By the way, Steve, I hope things are going well for you in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that Rod and I, especially Justin, fully support
exactly
all of your endeavors.
You have to do what you need to do, brother. And we're here at the Blackout Tips.
If you need any line maintenance or anything like that here in Charlotte, you need to let us know.
Just let us know.
We got you. We support. It's fucked up what the Panthers did. About you.
I was on your side the whole time. Third, how in the hell is a boxer who got his ankle broke because he got punched so hard during a match, Timothy Bradley, claiming to be the best boxer in the world? I did not know this. I don't really follow boxing that much, but I mean, you know, isn't that typically what boxers do to try to hype up shit before the fight? You know, I'm going to kill this motherfucker. I'm going to rape his children. You will see me. And they get in the fight. They get their ass whooped. Then they shake hands like, oh, thanks, buddy, for fighting me.
Mm-hmm. I needed this check.
Right. Maybe it's pay-per-view. I don't know why he would say that. But
on another note, how the fuck do you break your ankle?
Because you get
punched
knocked
in the face.
Ah, my ankle.
Like, I wouldn't believe that. Like,
yeah.
Because I could. Could you call in? I know I couldn't call in at work and be like, yeah, so, you know, me and my wife was playing around. We were slap boxing, and I broke my ankle.
Right, yeah.
They'll be like, what?
Yeah, did she kick you in the ankle when you fell? Nah, just snap when she knocked my ass out.
Yeah, like, that's really probably how Bynum hurt his knee instead of bowling. But he couldn't blame it on his girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Hit him in the face. He had to blame it on the bowling.
Fourth, are y'all going to start doing stories about y'all's experience with crazy people y'all hoop with at the Y again? I feel like that'll intermingle in. Sometimes it'll come up when it's relevant to a topic, but yeah.
Have one from last week, though.
Who? Which one?
Rob? No, the other dude that got mad because I called foul. And he kept being overly aggressive with you.
Oh, white cuz.
After he got mad at me.
Listen, first of all, I knew this dude. Like, I knew something was up with this dude because he had compression shorts on under his basketball shorts. And if you ain't Dwayne Wade, there's no fucking reason for that. Like, he was just like how old do you think he was?
22,
23. You think he's pretty young, white dude? Because I thought he gave off like an older vibe. But
I figured young because, like, you remember we was joking around when he first came in. It was like he just came in fully dressed, like he was ready to go hard in the gym, but he never signed up. And I was like, well, if he dunks it, jokingly, like, if he dunk it, we're going to sign him up.
Yeah.
We're cutting somebody to sign him up on our squad.
Yeah, the thing is, I would have rather played with him than against him anyway, because he's one of those people that hustle hard, don't take a lot of shots, probably shouldn't take a lot of shots, you know what I mean? One of those people. But, some crazy asshole, he was playing on the other team, and we start, like, beating his team. Like, I think we put them off the court a couple times. And so after you put a team out the court a couple times, typically it gets real contentious that third or fourth time you play them.
Yeah, they get real. The games get like that Miami Heat Pacers game.
Though. Yeah, because like the other teams were good, were not good enough to put us off the court. Like we weren't even scared of the other teams. But this one team was coming up like every two or three games and they would keep their team together and they were pretty good. So like when we beat them the first game, I actually think we had a shootout for it. And then we beat a couple scrub teams and they came back. And we beat them again, and I want to say it was on the shootout again.
No, I think we just smashed them.
Did we smash them the second time?
Yeah, I think we just smashed them.
Really?
The first time it was a shootout. The rest of the teams we just beat, and the only reason we had a shootout that last time was because of firing them with the erroneous calls every other play.
Okay, well, I just remember like it was, even if it wasn't close, it felt close because, like, they was fouling. They was, like, you know, like, they wasn't giving up no more easy shots and shit. Yep. So, the next time we played them, I was like, we kind of tired. We've been playing for a while. So, we're going to have to fight for this one. And we got off to a pretty decent lead. Game was still within a couple points. And we inbounded. I threw it to Justin. And Justin was just, like, you know, like, holding the ball kind of, like, you know, he hadn't dribbled it yet. He's just like holding the ball with two hands. And the white dude who's checking me just came all the way off of me up to Justin and like bumped into him real hard, like with his chest. And Justin like did that thing where you don't call foul necessarily, but you just stop like, come on, man, what are you doing? You know what I mean? I think you might have even said foul.
I did say foul.
But it was more like, it was a foul, but it was the body language of like, why are you doing this?
I thought this shit was crazy. I thought it was funny.
It was crazy.
Like, I didn't even get mad. Like, it wasn't even one of them fouls where I got mad about it. I was more so like, what are you doing?
And he seemed pretty sane until that point. And we had never played ball with this dude before this. So, you know, there's no history here for him to be mad at us, right? And we weren't talking shit, ironically, the one time we weren't even talking shit to them. So he came over and fouled Justin, and Justin was like, come on, man, like, what are you doing? And then he yanked the ball from Justin's hand and goes down. Nobody on either team goes with him. We all looking at him like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? And we're like, hey, man, I yelled at him. I was like, hey, man, he called foul. He's like, what? What? Foul? I'm like, yeah, dog, you clearly fouled him. He's like, y'all been playing Dwight too long. Y'all soft. And I was like, this motherfucker don't know. It's just a switch. We can go right back to Seabrook. We can go right back to Hornets Nest, right back to Park Road Park. It's muscle memory at this point. Like, oh, we're going to play those rules. So, but I was like, nah, man, you fouled him, like, on purpose. Let's get a ball up. And he started getting mad at me for telling him, like, what he was going to do. Like, the point, you're not going to get a point. Get a ball up. Your team knows it's stupid. Now you're wasting time. Just get a fucking ball up. He was like, nah, man, you guys are soft. You guys are weak. I was like, okay. So then,
I hit him with a few. Mm-hmm. So you mad because you're losing, bro?
Yeah. We hit him with that.
You mad now?
Like, sound kind of mad.
Like, what you mad about?
Sound perturbed. What's wrong with you? But yeah, he got so mad, man, that, and he was checking me, which this shit happens way too often too, man. Somebody gets into it with Justin, but they checking me. And I got to deal with them hacking me for the rest of the fucking game because they mad at Justin. That has nothing to do with me, really.
But I don't start these things. I don't say anything to these people.
I just don't know what it is, though. But you would admit it's a trend at this point, right?
No, it is, yeah. They take all the aggression out on you.
It's crazy, man. Like, sometimes I'll see you, like, agitate a dude on purpose where you, like, you know, like, oh, man, you know, Rod, get him or something. You know, something where that, you know, that person going to be insecure and be like, oh, nah, he ain't gonna get me, cuz, or whatever. But, like, this wasn't even that. It was like, dude fouled Justin, started talking shit to Justin. I was like, man, get a ball up. He got mad at me and then fouled me for the rest of the fucking game. It was crazy, man.
He got mad, too, though, because, like, as y'all could tell, Rod a big dude. Like, yeah. But Rod ain't no bitch, either.
Right.
And he leaned in, like, after he had been fouling Rod the entire game.
Yes.
And leaned in. I'll let you tell it. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is the thing, man. I can dribble a little bit for a fat dude, right? So I hit dude with a nice little hesitation. And he tried to, like not only beat me to the spot where I was going, he tried to lean in and shoulder check me. so that when I came up out of my hesitation dribble, we would collide, and he was gonna basically try to put me on my ass, like, so that, cause he leaned all the way into it, you know, for people that play ball, like, he put all his momentum into checking, like, hitting me basically where my chest would have been.
It's like he dove on the floor.
Right.
While you are already on the floor.
But I saw his body language when I hit him with the hesitation and I crossed it over to my left. So I already could tell, like, oh, this dude's about to try to, like, check me, like, chin check me or some shit. So with my off arm, I just basically put it up in a defensive position. I didn't extend it. I didn't push him or anything. But I just made sure that where he was going to hit me at was going to be in the shoulder, which was solid. And he wouldn't be able to affect my balance. So we both were kind of leaning into it. This motherfucker falls on the floor. And then I shot my J, and I just heard him bitching on the floor like, oh, push off. I said, dude, I didn't push you. Nah, I was like, first of all, offensive foul. Nigga, are you serious? You will never get that call.
At the Y, after he was just saying, we played the Y too much.
You will never get that call. Ever. I'm offensive foul. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, he pushed, like, he falls on the ground. Then he gets up, and he was like, you pushed me. I said, dude, if I would have pushed you, you would have been way over there. Like, I didn't even have to extend my arm. You bounced off of me, dude. Like, I know I'm fat, but I'm way more solid under this fat than you think. Like, you thought you was just going to knock a nigga down, and I was going to be like, wow, this guy is really rough. It's just a switch to go back to Seabrook. So he got a little bit of Seabrook. It wasn't even malicious, dog. It really was just to protect myself. And he got so mad. He was mad the rest of the game, dude. It was crazy. And then after all that shit, he did the typical weird try too hard shit that those try hard dudes at the Y do, trying to come over and dap me up. Hey guys, great game. Man, get the fuck out of my face. The fuck out of my face, man. You was just out here trying to hurt me. You fouled me 10 times. It wasn't no great game. It was great fouling by you. And your ass sorry, so I couldn't even foul you back. Cause every time you get the ball, you just throw it to us. Oh, someone gonna get this.
I don't know how I built up the reputation as a troublemaker, trouble starter at the Y when I don't bother anybody though. I don't even talk to the people at the Y. I literally show up at the gym and I talk to Rod, our homeboy Damon. I now talk back to Rob. Mm-hmm. And one time I was ignoring him for half a year. Like, I literally just ignore people and don't even talk to them. Yeah. The younger guys, that I might talk with them about school and stuff like that, how things going.
It really ain't shit. It's just weird to me anytime somebody tries to hit me with the, you've been playing the Y too long. I'm like, I had to dumb my game down from what it was. Like, this is nice me. You know what I mean? When I first got to the Y, I used to be like, whoa, no, fuck that. That's all ball. I'm taking this shit too.
Yep.
Like, I would take the ball from grown ass men. Me being 21, 22, I would yank the ball out of a grown man's hand, a man who had job, kids, a wife, responsibilities, bills, insurance. I would take the fucking ball, walk to half court, sit on the ball and be like, nah, we not going that way. Our ball.
And I dare somebody to go take the ball.
Yeah. Come try.
I actually want this altercation at this point.
Yeah. They be like, we'll shoot for it. We will shoot for it when I feel like it. If I, like, my teammates used to be like, come on, Rod, man, please. We just want to play the game. Fuck that. Loud as hell in front of these little kids. I didn't care, man. So no, I don't even want to hear.
Oh man, I forgot about Rod spazzing out.
Yeah. Anytime somebody try to bring some fucking, like, hey man, you guys aren't used to how we play. You're not used to how I play, dude. I can easily go back to that. What do you say? Y'all fuck around, turn me into the old me. I don't want to be that guy. It's not fun. To be honest.
Not fun for y'all.
Yeah. Listen,
all jokes aside though, I had the most fun the other day playing ball than I had in a long time. Just from just talking trash.
Yeah.
With Fari and Terrence.
Yeah.
They are fun.
It
frustrated Rod. Rod was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm tired of going back and forth with y'all.
My thing is more like, I'm not encouraging them. Like, if they, cause at the end of the day, I'm not giving up this call.
Right. But see.
So sometimes you'll be talking to them and then you'll hit them with like a smile or a laugh. I'm like, I'm not laughing with you. Like, we not friends right now. Y'all gonna have to take this L. But I know them niggas will cheat us. I know they will. Cause right. They do it all the time.
But I wanted to argue with them and like they got frustrated. They got upset. They actually got mad while I was still sitting there laughing about it. This shit was funny to me.
Yeah, game was too close for that. I needed to fucking, like, if we were up by 5, I would have probably been like, oh man, whatever. But them niggas was really trying to cheat us. And then like, I don't want the rest of the team thinking they friends. Cause I feel like other niggas will let them cheat them. You know what I'm saying? I don't worry about you too much, but I feel like other people on the team would be like, well, hell, Justin was laughing about it. So what does it matter? Like, nah, it do matter, y'all. Like, we trying to win. You know, MT, you know what I mean? We got to keep people like him focused because Rob, you know, it's all being held together.
That was my first time, too, seeing a white person coming in and actually check one of the other white people in the gym that was acting crazy.
Yeah.
They never do that.
They don't. That is a good point.
I've never seen that before with one of the white guys end up being crazy. Those white kids end up acting the fool.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen any of the staff coming in and be like, hey guys, this is not the way to go. Only when it's the black people. And that was the first time.
Was you there when that lady called the police on Rob?
Nope.
Yeah. This older lady was walking in the gym just to like check on her son. And Rob team turned it over. He was playing against me, and we went down and scored, and Rob just yelled out shit like right in front of this little kid. And she was like sir, what? And he was like, I'm sorry, just, you know, sometimes I get frustrated. I'm like, that ain't a good excuse.
Not for her.
Yeah.
Not
like,
here.
She don't want to hear that shit. Like, so she was like, do I need to get the police? Do I need to get the police? And he's like, whatever, or whatever. Start going, yeah, she went and got the police. And they watched us the rest of the day. And I kept making jokes about it. Like, every time Rob did, I'd be like, oh, he was the one cursing now. So we went out front. We was getting ready to leave. It was like me, KT, and somebody. And she walked up to us and was like, what was wrong with him? I was like, I don't know. He's always like that. She's like, well, he shouldn't be like that in front of children. I was like, I agree. I was like, he has emotional problems and shit. And she was like, yes, he does. And right about then, she was telling us some story about like how she went to the gas station and got an altercation with a Burger King employee or some shit. And you know, I was making jokes on the low.
I do remember that white lady now.
Yeah, I was making jokes on the low. She was like, he just tried to skip me in line. I said, did he want to have it his way? She was like, what?
She didn't get it at all.
She didn't get it at all. She was mad. She just robbed with titties. But I was like, yeah, so she's like, I'm a short lady, da da da. And then Rob came out and was like, what y'all talking? He tried to walk off. He gave me the eyes like, this crazy bitch trying to walk off. I was like, hold up, Rob.
Yep, come on back.
Come on back. You gotta hug it out. I was like, we gotta be friends now. But yeah, that was fine. Anyway.
And he's a Duke fan, by the way.
Yeah.
What time did Duke play last night?
Oh, never o'clock.
Oh.
So finally, we agree 102% that sure, Kobe hates everyone in the whole Lakers organization after the field in New York thing. And this picture, I guess he put a picture on here. What is this picture? It's a picture of the Lakers team. It says team photo day. Kobe sitting in this bitch like a kid whose mom is supposed to pick him up and she late. Everybody else in here trying to be a little bit happy. He's like, fuck this shit. Thanks, and y'all opinions are appreciated. Best show around. Well, thank you, Jared. We appreciate you, bruh.
Yeah, I always enjoy the emails.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into some stories, man. We got a ton of fucking stories. Redskins news.
I knew you was going to bring this up, too.
What do you mean new? Everyone was talking about it. It wasn't like I like...
We go plenty of weeks and not covering y'all, some story.
Y'all Redskins fans have got to stop being so sensitive about this shit. Y'all have got to stop being sensitive. It's an obvious issue and people going to keep talking about it. This shit was on every ESPN show. It was like, if I would have ignored this, this would have been willful ignorance. Like, I just like, I'm not going to talk about it no more.
We already covered this story.
But this is new.
And I gave the solution in. And apparently he listened to the show and followed through with it.
And it didn't work. Like, I told your ass it wouldn't work. I was like, this shit will not work. Nah, somebody finally did one of your crazy ass ideas and it went exactly like I thought. He's like, I just give some money to these Indians. kill somebody with these engines.
He's bad boy. I can't believe he did it.
I couldn't. I saw this shit. I was like, what? This is a terrible idea.
That's exactly what I said. I said, why would he do that? That is so insulting.
It's a joke. What are you doing, Daniel? Oh, my God. Shit, Stephen Colbert got in trouble for making fun of him for doing it.
Damn it, man. That's what I was thinking.
Daniel M. Snyder has introduced, announced the creation of the Washington Redskins Original Americans Foundation, organization meant to help the struggling Native American tribes across the country as controversy over the Redskins name heats up again. He announced the creation of an organization meant to help struggling Native American groups across the country. The mission of the Original American Foundation is to provide meaningful and measurable resources that provide a genuine opportunities for tribal communities, wrote Snyder to Redskins fans in a letter on Monday. The student's written more letters this offseason. Can you just write like an offseason letter about like what's RG3 knee up to?
Hey man, maybe he went to school, he was a writing major. I don't know.
With open arms and determined minds, we will work as partners to begin to tackle the troubling realities facing so many tribes across our country. Why didn't he name it the Original Redskins Foundation? Is that not a flattering term? I noticed you didn't use that term one time in your press release.
Why are you bringing up old stuff? We talking about going forward.
Because the Redskins name is old stuff.
We talking about moving forward.
The Washington Redskins Original American Foundation. The New York Niggers.
Dan is trying.
African American Foundation.
He is trying, man, okay?
This dude said Washington Redskins Original Americans Foundation.
When I saw it, I was like, yep, he'll never change the name.
He will never get it.
He'll never change the name.
Oh, my God. Has already distributed more than 3,000 coats to this nigga Nino Brown. He giving turkeys to the projects. Distributed more than 3,000 coats to tribes in need and assisted in the purchase of a new backhoe for a tribe in Nebraska, per Snyder's letter. Yeah, I think he was like, sir, I feel like Redskins is disrespectful. Move backhoe. Put that on the list. Backhoe. We gave him a backhoe and 3,000 coats.
I'm just saying, man.
For the shade we delivering.
He trying. He's making an effort to make amends.
Yeah, he did more.
And to help.
If you judging him, he did more than you did. How many coats you gift out to the Original Americans? Well.
I mean, I ain't gave shit. And
exactly.
I don't purchase any Redskin.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Any, I'll purchase any of their, although I did for a birthday, I did get some Redskins stuff.
Snyder also uses missive to brush aside criticism that the Washington Redskins name is racist towards Native Americans. I've been encouraged by thousands of fans across the country who support keeping the Redskin tradition alive, mostly by white people. most by overwhelming majorities find our name to be rooted in the pride of our shared heritage and values, as long as they aren't Native Americans. Some Native American groups, football fans, and even members of Congress have been pressuring Snyder to change the team's name. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, meanwhile, said on Monday he continued to listen to both sides of the Redskins debate, but you better not say nigger. Here's Snyder's full letter, which I'm not going to read. Just, yeah, dog, tone deaf as fuck still.
I'm proud of Dan.
You know, I'm proud of him for trying to pull off one of your ideas, man.
He's making a difference in the lives
of many coatless Native Americans.
The true Native Americans, and I'm proud of him. It's a step in the right direction. Like you said, what have any of you all done?
Right. To judge this man.
What have any of the other owners done in their community or to help Native Americans?
So just because he caused all kinds of strife in the community, we just going to ignore that he gave a couple of them some coats?
Right. Only 3,000. Listen, it's probably only 3,050 Native Americans. He gave out 3,000 coats. I mean, What more do you want? I don't see the Chiefs doing anything. I don't see Florida State Seminoles.
The Cleveland actual Indians.
Right. So, the Atlanta Braves. I'm just saying, get off his back, okay?
He's trying, guys.
It might be minimal effort. It may be minimal. But it's still effort. You know what I mean? So just get off his back. And
Yeah.
Maybe you should submit him a solution on what to do.
Yeah. Well, and Oneida.
Outside of changing the name.
And Oneida. Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah.
An Oneida Indian Nation statement regarding revelations surrounding Washington NFL team's new foundation. The Oneida Indian Nation, which leads the national change the mascot campaign, responded today to an article in the USA Today concerning the Washington NFL team's newly announced foundation. The newspaper cited a report by the Office of Inspector General determining that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Office of Justice Services, awarded and then terminated a $1 million contract to the organization whose CEO is the leader of the new foundation announced this week by the Washington NFL team. Clearly, this article is biased. I mean, this is yellow journalism at its finest. The Office of Inspector General report describes the agreement with the National Native American Law Enforcement Association as a defective contract that was neither open to competition nor embodied fair and transparent business practices. It concludes the BIA wasted almost $1 million of appropriated funds to fill critically needed law enforcement officer positions in Indian country. The report stated, "We found that OJS received no benefit when they awarded a recruitment services contract to the NNALEA, thus wasting almost $1 million. The contract contains significant defects, allowing the NNALEA to take advantage of the OJS and produce unusable contract deliverables."
You think Patrick Cannon set that up?
Probably. Makes sense. He's dirty.
Former man Patrick Henry.
You think he probably got a little Indian in him.
Negotiated that.
You know.
Got that good hair.
Looking at his hair, you know. Oneida Indian Nation Representative Ray Halbritter. Well, that doesn't sound like an Indian name.
They still go by names like,
Nope, don't. Said in response to these laser invasions, this is part of a disturbing but hardly surprising pattern of behavior by team owner Dan Snyder. And his team, Mr. Snyder, first insisted that using a dictionary-defined racial slur is a way to honor Native Americans. He then hired a former associate of notorious lobbyist Jack Abramoff, who helped bilk Native Americans, and selected a person who financially harmed Native Americans to run the foundation to defend the team's name. These aren't accidents, but part of a systematic campaign to denigrate Native Americans by a team owner who will stop at nothing to keep the team's offensive name. Mr. Snyder and the NFL should heed the calls of the nation's top political leaders, including members of Congress of both parties and the president, as well as civil rights organizations, faith leaders, sports icons, journalists, and Native American organizations who have taken a stand against the offensive R-word epithet. The time is long overdue for Snyder, his team, and the NFL to stop slurring Native Americans, instead place themselves on the right side of history. So, all right. I guess the money didn't go where it was supposed to go. Tell you where people are going where they are supposed to go. Apparently Jeannie Buss said on the radio station in Los Angeles at ESPN that she be running Phil and them.
Yeah, she a boss.
She be running the Lakers. So she was basically saying that even though they're having a down season, it's a smart move. Discussing Kobe's viability as a player moving forward and discussing the team's potential with basketball personnel chiefs Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak utilizing salary cap space and a lottery pick moving forward, but it still hasn't done much to dissuade most from assuming that the Lakers front office is a fractured bunch, split evenly between the warring brother and sister, Jim and Jeannie, on the business, Jeannie and the basketball Jim side of things. The sister wants to put to rest any uncertainty about who's in charge. In case anyone was wondering, she hit the airwaves and brought down a hammer on Thursday. "I'm the boss," she said in an hour-long interview with Mason on the Mason and Ireland show on ESPN LA 710 Thursday. "I'm responsible ultimately for anything with the team and decisions that are made. In my position, I empower people that are in positions to do their jobs, executive vice president of player personnel.
As the boss should.
Jim Buss and general manager Mitch Kupchak are responsible for all basketball decisions. They are empowered to do that. My job is to make sure as a boss that I provide them the tools to do the job successfully, but it's up to them to make the day-to-day decisions on how they operate their area of the business. Ultimately, I'm the one voice. I'm that person. I'm at the top of the food chain," Buss said. So, yeah, man, she runs shit.
Yeah, and she sounded like a boss.
Mm-hmm. So, I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, we talk about feminism and progressive shit and all that in this day and age. And she out here running, man.
The one thing after I read it, because I had read it, and I was like, most bosses don't walk around announcing they the boss, though.
That's true.
And that's the one thing I was like, eh, you trying to convince me or yourself?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So
it's that thing where if you get questioned so much that you have to bring it up, you know, then are you really the boss?
Yep.
You know, I was hoping she was going to be talking about her relationship with Phil. I'm the boss in that, too.
She did comment on the fact.
I've been telling this old ass what to do.
She did comment on it, but I'm going to wait till we get to the Kobe about Phil to say what she said about that.
Okay, well, that's cool. Paul George definitely needs some sort of parental lock on his computers and phones. First, it was the baby mama drama. He knows baby mama keep putting them down. Mm-hmm. They always keep on bailing them out. And every time she keep on running the mouth, but he need to do for his child. So you know how it is. But apparently he got catfished, him and Kenyon Martin,
yep,
into sending news to a gay man. And the gay dude has a blog where he posts pictures of everything, their dicks included. Now, I haven't gone to the blog. I just looked at the safe for work pics because, I mean, let's be honest. I don't need to see all that shit. But, like, dude basically, like, takes pictures of himself in booty shorts and shit from certain angles so that it looks like a woman. And these dudes is like, okay, I'll send you a picture of my dick.
But ain't he engaged?
I don't know.
George?
By the way,
I don't know about Kenyon Martin, but...
The gay man pretends to be a thick white woman, which really just sets it back for all black men everywhere. And then they send dick pictures to him. So, but yeah. So Paul George is also in the middle of a shooting slump. So that's why they had to beat the Heat the other night.
Man. But we called it a long time ago. He got to be to rise above. Like, you can't say you wanted to, you know, you're in the top five in the league, top 10. And you can't even handle something as trivial as a baby mama. Try going to court.
Mm-hmm.
On the game day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then go drop, you know, 30 points on somebody. Like, try that for once. See how it'll make you feel oh so much better.
Nick Young had $100,000 worth of items stolen.
Swaggy P.
What's going on, TMZ?
What's up, baby?
Yeah, he got $100,000 worth of shit stole. Clothes, shoes, jewelry, and luggage. Was stolen from his Los Angeles area home while he was playing a game at the Staples Center. Young said he returned to his Sherman Oaks house after the Lakers 103-94 win Sunday over the Orlando Magic to find an upstairs window broken. I came in, I seen my drawers and everything, and everything open and all the clothes all over the floor and the glass is broken from the window. I think they knew that I had a game that day. I think they scoped it out a little bit. Obviously, they knew nobody was in the house and they knew we had a game, so they came at the right time. He don't have an alarm system?
I was wondering, did he not have an entourage or was the entourage?
Maybe they was at the game with him?
Because he made it seem like he had to wait there by himself or something.
You know, it's possible because he does move a lot. A lot of times you do that when you're in the NBA. He's been on several teams. Maybe he just lives by himself in L.A., you know, low key because he knows he's probably not going to be there forever. The 28-year-old said he called police and checked into a hotel after discovering the robbery. I didn't feel safe no more, Young said. Young said he has homeowner's insurance, but there was one item he seemed particularly disappointed to be missing. They got me, man, Young said. They stole my Yeezys too, man. Yeah, the Yeezys like $6,000.
That's probably the only reason they even went to the house.
Right. You know, you got robbed by some black people if they took the Yeezys.
They on eBay now.
White people would be like, just take the Xbox One and the TVs. Black people would be like, it's them Yeezys.
You just need to go online, eBay, Craigslist, or whoever, and find out who's selling his shoe size.
Black people steal your Yeezys and wear them. Like, won't even try to sell them. Just see a nigga with Yeezys on. driving a Honda Civic from 1994. You're like, why do you have Yeezys on and a 1994 Honda Civic?
You think the picture's on Instagram right now?
Yeah, they on Instagram.
That's who took the shoes right now.
Yeah. Swaggy P, gotcha. Hashtag. You know what I'm saying? Hashtag,
hashtag, not my size. Hashtag, they still look good on my feet.
Right. Hashtag, what's going on, TMZ? What's up, baby?
Hashtag, we swaggy.
Yeah.
Hashtag, thanks, bro.
Yeah, good looking out. So Young was referring to the red October Nike Air Yeezy 2 sneakers he wore to a game last week and showed off for TV cameras. That's probably what got him robbed. Telling reporters that they go for as much as $6,000 on the open market. Young, who goes by several pointed nicknames Swaggy P, is known for his extravagant outfits and was ranked number 19 on GQ's list of 20 most stylish athletes in 2013. I had no idea.
Yeah, yo, he's swaggy, man.
The 7-year veteran has made about $18.4 million in salary during his NBA career. Young said he called police around 2 a.m. Officers did not respond to the scene until 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. I was just happy no one was in the house when they were breaking in. It could have been a lot worse. Former NBA players Eddie Curry and Antoine Walker weren't so lucky, as they were in the homes when burglars arrived and held them up at gunpoint on separate 2007 incidents. I'm just happy that I didn't have to be in that situation, really, Young said. I don't know what I would have did. I was just shocked they tried to get swaggy yesterday. He referred to himself in third person on this shit.
That's why I said that on the Instagram. We swaggy.
I'm going to have to get a guard dog or something. Yeah, alarm, man. Let's get a fucking alarm.
That is, I love his comment at the end.
Yeah.
Like that's why I like Swaggy P right there, man. But even after all that shit, he still like, that's the whole TMZ philosophy. Like, he's just joking, having fun. Like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's just funny because it's like, only niggas would get rich and not get an alarm system. And get robbed and be like, I need a pit. No, nigga, you need an alarm.
He was joking about that, man.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying. He should have already had an alarm.
Suppose he really does just go get a dog.
Yeah.
And post a picture of it, though.
Yeah. And it don't even be like a vicious attack dog. It just be like a normal dog. Like
a poodle.
Golden retriever or some shit. Or a purse dog. Swaggy.
Only Swaggy P would do that, man.
Yeah. Me, Scrappy P.
Man, I hope he'll never leave the Lakers.
Cam Newton apparently has needed surgery on his left ankle for like 4 years. what? He been playing with a fucked up ankle for 4 years, and he been setting records and playing this good.
You gotta get that money first off.
Yeah, but I guess he said he need to get his surgery, which I do wonder if part of this was because they didn't give him a new contract extension. He's like, oh, well, fuck it. I need to get my ankle worked on then. Yep. I might as well get the best shape I could be. Y'all ain't giving me no receivers. I'll probably be back, you know.
He waited till right after they released Steve Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I need ankle surgery.
I could have been got it. Could have got it the day the season ended, but fuck it. Might as well get it now.
Yeah, man, you know when you're in college and things is wrong, you like, shit, that's, I'm not injured, I'm just hurt. I'm going to play through it. And the condition gonna get worse, but that's cool. I'm gonna play through it.
Don't be surprised though, cause ankle surgery is no joke, man. Jonathan Stewart has so many issues with that ankle for a long time, sitting out weeks between games and not being able to practice at all. So she could get pretty hectic, man.
Yeah, and it's not like Cam, a little dude, walking around on a boot. Mm-hmm. You know, after he had that surgery, that's gonna be a lot of weight on that ankle.
Yeah, but it does make you wonder if he can get healthier. What the fuck does that look like? You know what I mean? If this is him on a busted ankle,
yep.
What the fuck does a healthy Cam Newton look like?
Now, which is it? I wonder which is it, left or right? Like, is it his planting? Like when he's throwing ankle?
I don't know, cause you know Cam left ankle, cause you know sometimes Cam don't even plant.
Cause that's probably why.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of times it seems like he throws off his back foot because it's like he don't want to plant. And I wonder if that habit goes away if he knows that his ankle's fine.
Can you imagine that he's gonna be more accurate now?
Possibly, man. I hope so. But can he be more accurate when he's throwing to nobody?
Just get him fantasy league, not for this year, but the following year, and you keep a league.
A house divided when it comes to sports loyalty is always good. For a few manufactured yucks, you know, loser does the dishes, winner sleeps on the couch because of sore feelings, that whole bit. Bridget Trogdon, by the way, not in my house, but okay.
I was thinking, what you mean, sleep on the couch?
Yeah, maybe for this Kevin Kudak who wrote this article.
Like, but if I fall asleep while I watch the TV and then she wakes me up in the middle of the night when she, you know, like, baby, come to bed. But
I really, like, this is a wish a motherfucker would moment for me. I really wish my team, like, the Eagles beat the Panthers, and then Karen's like, you can't sleep in your bed that you pay for.
And not only that, but I wish I would tell my wife to go sleep on the sofa.
Yeah, I'm not. But, yeah, that's the other thing. I can't imagine a scenario where I'm like, oh, y'all beat my Eagles? Well, you better not come to bed. What?
Yeah, I miss out at that point. I don't get to hold on to the booty at night while I'm sleeping.
I'm trying to sexually harass her.
Right.
That'd make the tension go away.
Why am I so mad? What type of household is this?
Yeah.
This is bad parenting all the way around.
I hope they don't got kids. Bridget Trogdon and Dwayne Lawson, however, amped up the laughs a little bit this week with Mercer taking on Tennessee in the round of 32. On Sunday night, Trogdon, an associate professor of chemistry at Mercer, was supporting her Bears after Friday's big upset of Duke. Lawson, meanwhile, appears to be repping his Tennessee Volunteers after a choice of loyalty that would appear to have earned him a few nights not on the sofa, but on the concrete of their driveway. Check out this tweet from Bridget. It's a picture. I'll put it in the chat. But it's a picture of a tent with a Tennessee flag on the front, and the house with the Mercer Bears thing on the front, and it says it's pointing to the screen. It says his and hers. Hers being the house, his team won, by the way, being the motherfucking driveway. So he gotta sleep his ass outside on the cold ass driveway, because his team won.
How the fuck you win and you on the driveway? Did she change the locks?
His response to it, they were tweeting it, because, you know, nothing can be private anymore. His response was, my wife hates me. Mercer did get their ass whooped.
I will say this, though. If you know that's the type of wife you have, and you know you... Like, I guess she run the house. She the man of the house. She wear the pants. Mm-hmm. She bring her home the bacon, cooking it, all that other good stuff. Just root for her team.
Yeah.
Just word of advice. Just root for her team.
Don't fake it for us.
You know what I mean? Secretly in your head, you can root for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't let it slip out with a yes, you know, every now and then. But just root for her team and you can sleep inside. That's.
Yeah.
But unless she changed the locks and called the police on me and has a weapon and was trying to attack me. That tent is just for decoration in the front yard.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sleeping in that.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck he is.
Yeah, I don't know why you wasted time putting up the tent today. But you need to go take that shit down whenever you get time.
As a matter of fact, why is it dinner ready?
Yeah. You could have been making dinner instead of fucking with this tent. I don't know what's wrong with you today. But just because your team got their ass whooped by my team, we're not going to be having this. And why are you posting this on social media anyway? Trying to make me look like I don't have a say so in my own life.
You know what he needs to do is,
because you know, if this is the other way around, and some dude was posting, yeah, my wife got to sleep outside, motherfuckers be calling the cops.
Yep.
This is what's wrong with patriarchy in America.
I can't believe a man would treat his queen like that.
17 think pieces. Mm. Men take sports too serious. But hey, as long as they're having fun, good for them. Mike Vick. Now it's going to take Geno Smith's job. I give it to week 3 of the preseason. So
why week 3?
Because I feel like they're going to try to act like it's even for 2 weeks.
You're not going to be summed up in practice, because they film these practices.
But I know how it goes. They got to act like it's a controversy for a while. Then you're going to have week like 2 of the preseason where like Mike Vick comes in like first week is going to be Geno Smith starting, then suddenly, and then they're going to interview. Listen, it's going to go exactly like this. First week will be before that. Practice will be a whole bunch of Mike Vick's looking pretty good in practice. Mike Vick's looking pretty good in practice. You know, the 12-year veteran, they're going to be doing that shit, right? Then after that, it's going to be Geno Smith is getting a start for the first week of preseason. Wow, that's pretty controversial because Mike Vick's been getting a lot of snaps in practice. Then the next week is going to be, during the week, Rex Ryan's going to come out and be like, Geno is our quarterback, but, you know, still up in the air, you know, give everybody opportunity to do da-da-da. Next week, Mike Vick going to start season two of the preseason.
I wonder which one is really more awkward for. Like, once Vick signed, like, Geno had to know his job was gone. But it seemed like it would be kind of odd to look at Geno in the face and just be like, man, this – my bad, bro. I had to, though. Like, how did
– Well, you know, they look – like, these young dudes grew up idolizing Vick, these young black quarterbacks especially. So I don't think they will look at it as bad as the rest of us or the press will look at it.
I don't know, man. Somebody coming to take my job, I don't know how I feel about them.
I know what you're saying. I just feel like Geno's young and he'll still, even if he doesn't like this, he'll still have to use it as an opportunity to learn and have to try to like look at it in a positive light because he's not good as Mike Vick.
I mean, I know this.
And Mike Vick going to get hurt, so he's going to get back on the field. So he just needs to make it look good during the meantime. Like what you don't want to do is have some type of publicized beef with Mike Vick because that shit is going to make him look real petty and it's not going to work out well for Geno.
Geno at home with his homeboys and they roasting him right now.
Nigga, Geno is playing with Mike Vick starting on the Jets right now. Okay, let's just keep it real. Geno's playing Madden and he stars Mike Vick, man. By the way, third week of preseason, they will let Geno play all three quarters and Mike Vick won't play at all. And that's when we'll be like, oh, it's Mike Vick's job. You see what I'm saying? Like they do that all the time where it's like, it's that third preseason game where they be like, put the scrubs in the whole game. Like maybe Vick plays one series and then Geno plays the most. And then they show the highlight package. Geno Smith had 197 yards, 2 touchdowns in preseason the other day. Yeah, because Mike Vick is the starter, and he only played one series. That's my guess, anyway.
I know Mike Vick the starter now. I don't have to wait.
He got a one-year deal for $5 million.
By the way, congrats to him. I don't know how much he still owe, or is he debt-free
He's debt-free, supposedly.
Man, money in the bank. Shorty, what you think?
People still writing think pieces about how terrible a person he is and shit.
He should go out and buy some dogs. He should just go out and buy, like, 10 vicious dog.
This one trick was so mad at him, she went on Facebook and attacked the wrong team. She went to the Newcastle Jets and said, how can you people live with yourself signing Mike Vick, spelled wrong, after what he did and is still doing to dogs? Do you have any soul at all? Still doing to dogs? Still doing the dogs, right? He's still running the dog fighting ring.
Is he fucking them in the butt? I mean, right. Really?
Well, he's still doing the dogs, guys. Every day. Well, he fights a dog in the locker room.
How about that white man's life he saved on the team? Does that not count for anything?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
Newcastle Jets hot. Yeah, why didn't she write this, like, to the wrong Eagles? Hey. Pawtucket Eagles, how can you live with yourself signing Riley Cooper after what he did is still doing to niggers? Do you have any soul at all?
He wanting to fight them, still enslave them.
Take their money, catch passes over
them. Yeah, getting better contracts than them. Getting people released from the team.
Not catching receptions from them. Newcastle Jets, hi Thelma, I think you might have the wrong Jets. We're a professional soccer club in Newcastle, Australia. Not the New York Jets of the NFL who have just signed Michael Vick. If you can put aside the awful dogfighting stuff, which I know is very difficult, but I guess in the eyes of the law, he served his time for that. I actually think he's a good addition to the Jets roster. Sure, he doesn't have the same explosive speed and acceleration he once did, but I think he gives them much needed experience in the QB position. Geno Smith will benefit from having him around as well. Thanks, Newcastle Jets.
You know,
perfect response.
And all jokes aside, though, man, why is it that we're a society that some things you can get just total forgiveness on, like like Bernie Madoff, for example. You know, you can go out here and ruin millions of people's lives by stealing their money, but you hurt one pet, never be forgiven again, ever
not,
in life.
Not pet, dog. Specifically dogs. He could have had a cat fighting ring. Nobody would have given a fuck. He could have had horses racing each other illegally. Nobody would have said shit. Dogs. People love dogs. And more importantly, white people love dogs. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where that's a group of people that's never going to forgive that man.
Like, I don't.
He should have punched his wife.
I just don't get it, man. Like, you can be out here drinking and driving, which is clearly illegal, and will clearly could potentially kill someone else.
Well, as long as you don't kill a dog, you'll be fine.
It's just
Dante Stallworth hit a human being. That's okay. Killed him.
Yep.
Back in the league, nobody writes why y'all signing this man think pieces of nothing.
The Dallas Cowboy dude killed his own teammate.
Yep. Nobody's going to write that think piece. Why would we condone this behavior? But Mike Vick, they going to write. They love them dogs, Justin. Speaking of loving my dogs, Deshaun Jackson got released today, man. And I was like, I can't believe this shit, dog. I love Deshaun Jackson. I know he's a confident, arrogant motherfucker, but I don't care. He good and he fun to watch. He makes that Eagles offense go. I think Chip Kelly's making a mistake. And it'll become more evident next year when teams are double teaming Riley Cooper and passes ain't getting completed at his high rate. But according to this, the reason they cut him, and who knows if this is one of those things where like, well, since we cut him, we need to come up with a better reason than we just didn't like him.
He hit him with that Greg Schiano reasoning.
Mm-hmm. So they dropped this leaked. Sources close to Jackson and within the Eagles organization say it's Jackson's off-field behavior that concerns the front office. A bad attitude, an inconsistent work ethic, missed meetings, and a lack of chemistry with head coach Chip Kelly are the reasons, sources told NJ.com. And when the Eagles looked more deeply into why Jackson was missing meetings, they found his friends were becoming a more powerful negative influence in his life. Now the Eagles have even more serious concerns. Jackson continues association with reputed Los Angeles street gang members who've been connected to two homicides since 2010. So it looks like they on that Aaron Hernandez trying to predict criminality before it happens.
Yeah, the police haven't found those guys guilty of anything, I don't see what the issue is.
Right.
Like, you stereotyping now? Like you just...
Well, they might have been connected to it and he hung out with them.
I mean, he hung out with Terrio.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying. He eyed in my book.
Yeah,
And
that's child neglect at best.
So basically, though, you can drive and you can drink and drive and kill people, but you can't hang out with people that's proven innocent of crimes. Okay.
Deshaun Jackson was nowhere near the scene of the crime when a December 29, 2010, 14-year-old Tabari Watson flashed a rival gang sign at 2 men as he rode his bike through South Los Angeles. The men reported members of the Crips responded to the teen's provocative gesture by shooting him multiple times. Paramedics pronounced Watson dead at the scene.
And rightfully so.
He can't be flashing a sign.
Yeah, like, that's like saying, fuck you, mom, or fuck you, dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about in your house, but in my house, I had to get my ass whipped after that. Potentially too deaf.
Deshaun Jackson was not part of the case. Jane Robinson, a spokesman for the L.A. District Attorney's Office, told NJ.com he was not a charged defendant. He was not a witness. Jackson was, however, associated with Theron Shakir, one of the two men charged with the murder. Along with co-defendant Marquise Ben, Shakir is a purported member of the Crips. In addition, Shakir, known as T-Ron, is a rapper who reported for Jackpot Records, spelled wrong, label owned by Jackson. The two were close enough that they appear together frequently in photographs, including pictures posted by Jackson on Instagram, while Shakir sat in jail awaiting trial for the teen's execution. This article says none of this is surprising, but it's surprising to me, man. But a couple of things should be made clear. Jackson isn't a gangbanger. He's just someone who has friends who are in gangs. Now there comes a time in your life where you're supposed to make certain tough decisions on who you keep in your inner circle and are those people being positive or negative vibes to your world. Yeah, I mean, it is a lack of maturity probably to actively kick it with people that possibly killed a 14-year-old. But at the same time, that's the craziest thing in the world that they cut him.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's a result of the Aaron Hernandez shit.
They want to dictate who his friends are. And mm-hmm. on top of that, it's 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, we talking about something that happened 4 years ago, and he hasn't been in any trouble.
And we're going to really act like this ain't about the salary cap number. If DeSean Jackson costs $5 million, he's still on the team.
I'm just mad they hit him with the Greg Schiano reasoning. Like, not only do I not want you on my team, I don't want you to go to any other team as well. Like, mm-hmm. I want to slander your name so bad so that other teams would be like, oh, well, you know, we're taking a risk dealing with you here. You know, that sort of thing. I just
who do you think going to pick him up?
Anybody that wants talent. He can go to the Patriots.
Yeah, I really, that was my first, like, I can see the Patriots picking him up. I can see Oakland, the Raiders picking him up. I wonder if, what team was I just thinking about?
He can come to the Panthers. He can come to the Redskins.
Oh, I'd love to see him on the Panthers, although this will probably scare off, the Panthers ownership because yep. you know how scared they are having.
He can go to the Jets. Mm-hmm. Baltimore would gladly take him.
Well, Baltimore just spent that money though, didn't they? On, a free agent. Who's it that? Steve Smith.
Yeah,
and they got Torrey Smith. They got Torrey Smith. They got
he's not asking for Anquan Boldin money though.
I don't know. He thinks he's worth more than that contract he already had.
He's not. He deserved it. He worked fucking hard for the Eagles.
Yeah. I'm just saying he gonna cost a lot of money. It doesn't matter. Like money will be an issue. But I'm just saying I would.
But the way they slander his name, I don't think they're gonna be like, look, we're not giving it to you. We're taking a risk on you. That's what team's gonna say. We taking a risk dealing with you. You lucky to even have this opportunity.
I'll be interested to see what happens, man. Speaking of bad influences and athletes, they already took it down. Fred Davis, the tight end for the Redskins, former tight end, I think. Because I think did y'all cut him?
Probably. I don't know. we send players in and out so often. It's hard to keep up with the roster. It really is.
Well, he got a rap video. It looked like they took it down. But it was talking about how he gets money. All talk is money. I hate they took it down, bro. And this is the only link they got, too.
It's like all of them using the same YouTube link instead of copying and saving it for themselves.
Yeah, I found this the other day. Somebody was doing that. It was like the Jay-Z song. I was trying to look for it and everybody was uploading it to just using the clip of the same video. It's like, come on, man. I don't know. I guess we're not going to be able to hear it, man. Maybe I can find like just the audio version, but,
we said in the beginning of the show though, all athletes want to be rappers. Rappers want to be, athletes, you know,
all these
mean?
Pictures of him are hilarious. It's just him standing in front of cars with hoodies on. Like, he should be on BET Uncut.
Yep. Oh, his videos would definitely probably be straight to BET Uncut.
Oh man, somebody got a
somebody went around and did some good work removing that video.
Yeah, can't be mad about this.
Like, whoever he paid, they did their job thoroughly.
Somebody said it's a typical Negro anthem.
Get what? This shit out of my forest.
These white people are mad as shit to even say that. Typical Negro music. Talking
can't
about.
You make something like Pop Rocks?
And, Pop Rock. What was that? That RG3 did?
Yeah.
That shit was corny as fuck.
Like, that's... You already know if you're in certain industries, that's what you got to do. I don't know that I would do it. Because I wouldn't be trying to make rap videos.
Yeah, I can't find this video anymore, man. I'm so fucking upset. I really wanted to hear this live on the air for the first time, man.
Pop Rocks and Tootsie Pops.
Yeah, Fred Davis, All I Talk Is Money. Fred Davis meets with the media. Stays with the Redskins. Suspense, no music video. Yeah, this shit must have been so fucking ignorant. They took it down, like, from everywhere. What was he possibly saying?
Man, he had to be talking about gays.
Yeah.
He had to be just like, you know, fuck Sam's, you know, like just everything. Like he.
Oh my God. Dude.
He must have confessed to a murder on this.
What the fuck could he pop like that? You take it down. No other version of the video is available. Like everybody's using the same link, so I'm guessing that's the problem. But yeah, anyway, I guess we'll have to wait till next week to see if we can find anybody that actually got a link to this shit, man. This sucks.
Sorry, guys. They do have a clip of him assaults women in nightclub though.
I don't want to talk about that.
That's the one they should have been removing.
So, obviously, we know last week the Duke Blue Devils got put out again in the first round this time. So, congratulations on that, guys.
And just think, their coach signed up for 5 more years of losing in the first round.
Yeah, he sounded kind of wistful. Like, he misses the idea of having people on this team for years instead of, just for a season and then they go pro.
I don't think Jabari declared, to go pro yet though.
Not yet. I'm just saying it just seemed like he was basically like, you know, it sounded like he was just being like, man, I wish I could go do what Mercer did and coach up. So, and obviously he's not gonna be able to do that. So, I think he misses that. Well, anyway, they lost, and I don't know if you've been hearing about this this porn star Bell Knox from Duke.
I did. Can we please play the video of Fred Davis hitting a woman in the nightclub?
What? Why would you want to play that? All right, is it in the chat or something?
No, it's on YouTube with the site you was just on.
Oh, I must have, this site?
And I thought that's Vizo. I thought you was on YouTube looking at,
let me find it. Hold on a second, man.
I'll put the link, I'll drop it in
there. Fred Davis, is it a black woman? I don't wanna watch this shit, man. For real talk, man. I don't really want to see a dude hit a woman, man. It's not really like my thing. I can't do it, man. I can't, man, because I'm just gonna get mad and I'm not gonna want to do the rest of the show and shit. I can already tell.
He threw a bottle at her afterwards, man.
What an asshole. Anyway, Bell Knox offers the team pocket pussies from her sex toy line for losing in the first round.
What a wonderful woman she is.
You know, and that's the thing, man. It's empowering for women to get out here and give people pocket pussies whenever they lose in the NCAA tournament.
Now, see, sharing is caring, folks. And mm-hmm. That right there is sharing.
My question is, why don't she just offer them some real pussy? I mean, you are a porn star. You know what I mean? Lower, give them a discount.
They are Duke players. They probably don't really like women.
Yeah, that's true. They probably don't want it.
Yeah, we...
Adam Silver says they'll probably put logos on NBA jerseys in 5 years, like advertisements.
Don't do it, Adam.
Yeah, this will be so lame. They do it in the WNBA now. It's like life lock.
They have to, though.
Because they're not making no money. But, yeah, I don't know. This is just greed, and the shit going to look like a NASCAR jacket, probably.
Right, and people are not going to go out here buying jerseys with an Eminem design on the back or Coca-Cola design front. I guess you have to put it on the front, don't you?
Yeah.
To make the money.
And you know what the question is, Justin? What does this mean? You have to change your jersey color, or does this mean like certain jerseys, like Chicago Bulls get the Coca-Cola ad because they got black and red, but like the Hornets won't be able to get one because they ain't, you know, it's not purple. No logo. The logo not purple.
And do the players still have to buy their own jerseys for the season?
Right.
Because if I have to pay for a jersey that someone else is advertising on, I shouldn't have to do that.
The NFL is changing the replay rules where now it'll be a discussion when you go under the hood, the ref now will be able to make a call to the league office and talk to the head official, who's going to be over all the replays. Is everybody forgetting that we might have 7-8 games going on at once with 2 or 3 crucial replays going on at the same time? And
that's what I was thinking.
Like, what are they going to put them on hold?
And I already, does this mean that the other guys that were the head officials at the games at the replay booth upstairs already lose their job?
Yeah, because isn't that what they do? Like, Dean Blandino is going to be the one dude that decides for everybody. That, isn't that a little too much power also?
That is. No one man should have all that power.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if I piss him off. I don't want him mad at my team.
And it's funny because they're doing that thing where they're basically like, yeah, we recognize that these motherfuckers could be fucking up. So we're not going to tell them what to do. But at the same time, we promise we won't let them make a mistake. Well, how do you do that if you're not going to tell them what to do?
And that guy's not at the game. He's not going to be watching it. Mm-hmm. Like live, like those other guys that's in the replay booth upstairs, they're watching the game live and then watching the replay at different angles to maybe get a better view or make a better decision on it. But he's going to be watching some, he obviously going to be watching all the Seattle Seahawks games or San Francisco games or, you know, Denver or Indianapolis games. He's not going to be watching the damn Cleveland Browns. Like, right. All they replay is going to be wrong.
And he's going to be like, damn, like he's going to be mad when he get a call.
Yeah.
I'm trying to watch Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning, man. What the fuck you want? Hey, man, it's me, Ed Hockley. Oh, what's up, man? Yeah, I'm over here at the Browns versus Ram game. Oh, shit. Psh, what's the score? It's 3-35. Man, just do what you want, man. All right, man. I'll talk to you later. But you said you were going to go through the replay. And just do what you want, man. I got another call on hold, man.
Yeah, like, he not going to be – it's a division game between Philly and the Giants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not – he not trying to switch that game.
Yeah. Also, owners voted to increase the uprights from 30 to 35 feet tall. Because remember last year when the Patriots had that game where somebody just kicked that shit over the goal? Everybody was like, was that good or not?
Yep.
And they counted it as good, I believe, and the Patriots lost that game. But, you know, nobody really knows if it was or not. So they're going to increase the goals by 5 feet. Here's the thing. The other thing they want to do, they were contemplating, was the fact that extra points after touchdowns were too easy. So they were like, let's move we should propose to move it back. I think I have a solution for all this shit. And I can solve the dunking crisis because the NFL does not want people dunking at the touchdowns. Just move the actual bottom of the goalpost up 5 feet. It makes extra points harder because now you have to get it up a little higher, right? No cheap shots.
Yeah, I guess.
It makes long field goals harder because even those are getting a little too gimme-ish, in my opinion. It makes it where if you kick the ball with a field goal, it's easier to tell if it went through the uprights or not because it's 5 feet higher. And nobody in the world can dunk on a 15-foot rim or whatever, so just move the shit up.
Yeah, I wonder what engineers have to say about this. And when you're dealing with those stadiums and the wind starts blowing.
I thought about that, too.
With it being 5 extra feet higher, like, how is that really going to affect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, goalposts blowing over.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What do you think about this no dunking celebration in the NFL?
I think it's stupid. Just like all the other celebration cancellations that they canceled.
I feel like it's racist. Because they're not canceling bounce passes or fundamental layups. You know, like if you're going to you also need to cancel all the stuff that white people do in basketball. No finger rolls, you know, no fadeaway jump shots, no set shots. No pick and rolls. Mm-hmm. You can't just cancel just the dunks, okay? This isn't when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in college. The other problem I have with this is, did you know they grandfathered in the celebration of the Lambeau Leap?
Why?
For tradition. It's tradition, so that's okay. Showing up your opponent by scoring a touchdown, running into the arms of adoring fans and celebrating as a group, completely okay. Not why, because they've been doing it for a while. But if anybody else did it, it's a flag.
They've been ducking the goalposts for a long time. As long as I know. I've been watching football, that's what they've been doing.
Yep.
Well, the guys that, the athletic guys.
All they gotta say is, we just, Jimmy Graham fucked up the goal one time, so we're not gonna do it. That's all they really need to say.
Does it count if you don't actually touch the goalpost, but maybe you throw the ball over it? Like you, cause you know how you can dunk the ball and not pull the rim down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we're gonna find out, and the answer is gonna be yes, it counts as a flag.
I might as well just say, you niggas make me sick after I get the flag for that too.
Yeah, you might as well.
Like you might go, why not? Like but can that penalty be canceled out with another flag during the play?
I don't know. I got to throw an Itwan out there. We talked about this a little bit last week, but Jim Irsay got caught with them drugs, but he white, so they was like, he need to help y'all. He's got a problem, and hopefully he's finally hit rock bottom. I was like, yeah, if this was motherfucking Michael Irvin getting caught with some drugs, totally different. Well, here's the other thing. Are we sure that he shouldn't be under the jail? He also had $29,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. And bottles of prescription drugs in the vehicle when he was arrested this month on suspicion of intoxicated driving.
And if they were somebody else's prescriptions, that's like, what, 5 years each?
Yeah. Are we sure he wasn't going to a drug deal or something? He had... Cash was contained in the Irsay's briefcase, wallet, and two laundry bags. The report said bottles containing pills of various colors were stored in a metal briefcase and in bags on the floor of the passenger side. Irsay denied being drunk when he was arrested in a suburban Camel on March 16th, although the 54-year-old billionaire was so disoriented that officers had him sit on the hood of a patrol car to keep him from falling.
Yeah, he wasn't drunk. He was high as fuck. Yeah. The only thing he missing is the dead hooker.
Yeah, I'm not drunk, motherfucker. I'm high. Can't you see?
Man, he gonna be like Dave Chappelle when he had to turn himself in. Mm-hmm. That's Tyrone Biggum. They just gonna do a little hearing and be like, I plead the fifth.
Here's an interesting way to use social media. The Cavs ejected a fan for planning to storm the court by reading his tweets.
Smart.
1,000 retweets. I'll go on the court. Put a picture on Twitter. Well, he got some sad trombone because his next tweet was got kicked out. And it says you are being issued. He got a piece of paper. It says you are being issued a warning that your comments, gesture, or behaviors you have directed at players, coaches, game officials, and or spectators constitute excessive verbal abuse and violation of the NBA fan code of conduct. This is the first and only warning that you will receive. If after receiving this warning, your comments, gestures, and or behaviors abuse any player, coach, game official, or spectator, you will immediately be ejected from the arena without a refund. So he got kicked out the arena, dog.
So why they don't kick people out when they talking about LeBron mama at the games?
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It is classless, and yeah, you shouldn't be able to bring a sign that says LeBron went east, but his mama rode west, you know. Shouldn't be able to do that. Richie Incognito went back on Twitter and said, at Jonathan Martin, no hard feelings. Let's just move on, smiley face.
They best friends, bro.
Said at 2:27 a.m.
I can't sleep. I can't eat.
Took a picture of his Ferrari, said, I'm sorry. Hashtag my bad.
He need football and he need it bad.
Yeah, dog.
Because that's the one thing in life keeping him from killing somebody is being able to hit other people on the field.
His initial tweet said, call me on my cell phone. I love you, brother. Shit got crazy, but we held it together. Hashtag call me. Hashtag family.
Can we go ahead and have him committed inpatient?
Okay. You know, what do you say to that? Okay.
I don't call.
He's not going to call you.
First of all, I don't call.
Yeah.
I'm not sending you a text. I'm not responding at all. Matter of fact, you should be blocked from being able to even communicate with me on Twitter.
Right.
Or any social media.
How's Jonathan Martin not blocked him yet? at this point, it's almost like it's his fault. I hate to, hate to blame the victim, but if you ain't blocked Richie Incognito on Twitter yet, it's like you're asking for it.
You think he should be like, yeah, bro, let's hang out. And,
yeah.
And just don't show up and just keep having him show up at random places.
Sounds like a plan, Richie.
Yeah, like, man, Hooters. You up for Hooters?
Jonathan Martin should have responded back like, all right, my nigga. Can't wait to rape your sister.
NFL, don't find me. Yeah.
Can't wait to rape your sister tonight, you piece of shit, half nigga. All right.
I'm telling you, he should be like, yo, let's go to the gentleman's club. I see, 3 o'clock. I'll see you there. What happened? Oh man, I got a flat tire. I couldn't come out. But yo, let's get up this weekend. We'll go do McDonald's. Richie being McDonald's waiting on him.
We can get together like old times, pick on some Asians.
You know what I'm saying? But for just no Martin, reason. Martin don't never show up. Like, just keep standing him up like that. That shit would be hilarious.
Have you heard about this news with Shaq?
To follow a story we broke on Friday, the active police investigation into what did or did not happen at Turner Studios between former NBA player Shaquille O'Neal and an employee. Channel 2's Ryan Young was the first to report this story. Ryan joins us now live from Midtown Atlanta with what he's learned today. Ryan?
Look, investigators are remaining tight-lipped about this investigation. They will deliver their findings to the DA's office sometime in the near future.
On Inside the NBA, a show on Turner Broadcasting, the superstar talent is known for having a good time and lots of fun. Some of that play gets put on TV for everyone to see.
Oh, no, you guys started from the beginning.
But now that play could lead to a big-time lawsuit. Friday, we confirmed the Atlanta Police Department is investigating an incident that happened last year between Shaquille O'Neal and Robert Williams, a production employee. Williams claims Shaq tackle-punched him.
And alleged that Shaquille O'Neal tackled him to the ground, causing injury to his back while they were at work at Turner Studios.
Monday afternoon, I tried talking to Robert Williams about his claims, but he didn't come to his door. But his attorney did send me this statement, which in part reads, "We understand that the physical attack between Shaquille O'Neal upon Mr. Robert Williams is under a criminal investigation. Mr. Williams is presently recovering after surgery. However, he does state emphatically the permanent injuries he received were not the result of participation in any form of horseplay." Shaq's lawyers also sent me a statement after our first story aired. "This was nothing more than horseplay," said Dennis Roach, attorney for Shaquille O'Neal. "No one intended for anyone to get injured. It will now be up to a criminal investigator to determine if anything criminal was done inside these studios last year."
So I've been told there have been witnesses in this case. A lot of this we'll have to figure out once that investigative file is finished. Reporting live in Northwest Atlanta, Ryan Young, Channel 2 Action News.
Not surprised.
Underdog put that on a t-shirt.
Just Shaq to the fool. He was Shaq to the fool on that dude's vertebrae.
Hey, man, a year later for surgery, though? What the fuck was he waiting on?
I don't know.
Like, he got the best health insurance there is. Yeah, TNT Studios, bro.
I wonder if Shaq wouldn't pay for it.
That's what the whole thing.
You were playing with me.
You think Hoops was like, don't do it, baby. Don't do it. I need that money.
We were both playing around, Rob. Like, no, Shaq, you fucking broke my back. Like, Shaq looked like a nigga that played too much. He's a big ass kid, man.
But you know what, though? You knew that was coming when you hired him.
Yep.
Like, because they said Shaq played too much.
Yep. He probably walked up to him, Birdman, slap. Oh, my neck.
Underdog, put that on a t-shirt.
Stop playing. Get up. Like, I can't feel my legs.
Underdog, make a DVD of all my horseplay and put it on a t-shirt.
Oh, Shaq.
Damn it, man. I like him as a crew.
I really hope this doesn't make him lose his job.
I know, because I like him way better than the Chris Webber appearance.
Yeah, like, I'll accept that Robert Williams will never walk again and feel his left arm if we can just keep Shaq on the air.
Unless you replace him with Baron Davis.
Yeah, obviously.
I did like Baron Davis the other day on TNT.
Baron Davis is good, but Shaq is better.
Yeah.
I actually recorded his show on NBA TV called Shaq and the Fool. Well, he gave out the Shaqton Awards.
It was
so good. I've recorded it and watched it like 12 times.
That's hilarious, man.
Oh, man.
I just wish he would start at 10 and work his way down instead of.
Yeah, I don't know why he starts at 1. Oh, Shaq.
Underdog. Put it on a t-shirt.
Birdman. Warriors coach Mark Jackson forces a reassignment of assistant Brian Scalabrine.
What? He didn't pray with him?
Fake ass man of God.
Why didn't you just pray with him, Mark?
What happened to forgiveness, Mark Jackson? What happened to that? You sending all your coaches to the damn reassignment to the D League and shit? Like, that's what God would do? Did Jesus reassign Judas to the D League?
No, he sat and had dinner with him. His last meal.
He knew he would betray him. He kissed him on the cheek.
And look at you out here.
Yeah.
Betraying your brothers. Are you your brother's keeper?
Apparently not. Ray Rice got indicted on a more serious charge than he expected. Question is, what do you expect when you on camera knocking the fuck out of your fiance?
I still haven't seen him.
And dragging the body out of the elevator.
I still haven't seen video of him actually hitting her.
Yeah, but what you think they gonna charge you with? Even if you didn't, let's say you didn't do it. Let's say by some miracle, she fell out, hit her own head, and nothing ever happened.
That's what she's saying.
When you're dragging her lifeless corpse out of an elevator on camera.
Her makeup was slippery.
And very upset and inconvenienced by the idea that a person could see you doing it.
I'm Ray Rice. I'm always angry.
They gonna charge your ass with more than this. You know, like, he lucky he didn't get charged with attempted murder or some shit.
Her dress was slippery.
But,
I couldn't hold on to her. Same way I fumbled a lot during the season. It happens.
The prosecutors initially only asked to get like a sentence that could carry 3 to 5 years in prison, which was a simple assault. But prosecutors presented a charge of aggravated assault to a grand jury, which returned an indictment. It's a big difference. Simple assault carries a maximum of 6 months in prison, while aggravated assault carries 3 to 5 years.
The owner said he support Ray Rice. I support Ray Rice.
Ray Rice and Janae Palmer don't even want the case to be tried, which could just be battered wife syndrome, right?
No, I think he did.
It could be. I didn't say it is.
I don't even think it's a possibility.
Okay. Come on, man.
All right, all jokes aside.
It could be.
Look, okay, all jokes aside.
Yeah.
I hope Ray really did not put hands on her.
And I really hope he didn't, man.
And I hope, the story is they said she did initiate it, and I hope maybe while wearing heels, she slipped and fell. And I really hope that's what happened. But if he put hands on her, bro, you got to do time.
Police are reporting that they have video of the punch. And here's the thing, because a lot of dudes say this shit, and everybody gets off on this. What about this situation where it's okay to hit a woman, right? This is one of the reasons I never want to be in a situation where I put my hands on a woman. Because it never is going to look good. There's never a time when you hit a woman and everybody goes, yay. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're like, even if she's asking for it, it's more like it's still going to be a little twinge of, damn, man, he had to do it like that. Like, no matter how you work it out, you know, he hit his tiny ass fiance with an uppercut in the middle of the club in front of everybody. Even if she like spit on him, pissed on him, called his mother a bitch, slapped him, it's still gonna come back to that moment where he punched her, and there's part of everybody that's gonna go, shouldn't have did that.
Now, I will say this though. Mm-hmm. If she's trying to avoid him going to jail so that they can get married first, and then when he beats her, then she can get half, I'm okay with her plan. Like, you know, she's earned half at this point. She just has to go through the legal process to get it.
You know what, though? I know if he marries her, like, she can't testify against him, right?
Yep.
So they might get married fast, you know?
But I'm just saying, at least now if they get married, she'll be able to get half first. Versus if he go to jail and she does this, she ends up with nothing. And she'll have to start over like Evelyn Lozada. And she doesn't want that. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, Evelyn got the head, but after she got married. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Chad had been probably whipping her ass.
So, there's a dude named Les Grobstein, overnight radio host for 670 The Score, and he's a legend in Chicago for knowing sports and stuff. But
what's his name again? Les
Grobstein.
Okay. Sounds like a racist name, but I'll reserve judgment.
well, he apparently He apparently shit in the studio and fled the building.
Sounds like something a racist would do.
Good morning, Zach.
Here's a clip of his radio show.
How are ya?
I'm fantastic. You know, wasn't enough getting the early wake-up call, having the alarm ring at 3 in the morning, which is never a bad thing. I mean, usually when I'm up in 3 in the morning, something good's happening. And today it was...
what?
Today it was the opportunity to work with you. And
Zach with staying power.
Yeah. The other thing is... No, because usually games end late at night.
Oh, I didn't know what you were saying.
Exactly. So
of course. You can stay up. That's what I'm saying.
You know, another day of snow here in the spring. Gotta love it. And then you walk into the studio, and it's like a botanical garden of freshness.
I don't want to say anything, but combat pay, would that be
no
appropriate for
no,
today?
No, not enough.
Everything's awesome. Yes. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
Our show is so much better than sports radio. Can I just say that?
Yeah, I was thinking who the Jesus fuck Christ wants to work is terrible. With this guy and what made
I have
him
to listen
think
to,
this was a good idea.
I have to listen to 5 more minutes of this to find out what the fuck they're talking about. I'm just going to read the description. This is terrible. This is hurting my ears. This is what people have to listen to if they don't listen to us.
You seen the Lego movie?
Not yet. My nephew has not invited me to go see the
you know
Lego
what?
Movie.
You don't need a nephew, buddy.
Did nothing happen in sports, guys? Don't want to talk about anything that happened?
They're not talking about beautiful.
Can y'all break down a BET Uncut video?
Right. They're definitely not discussing that.
Can y'all break down Tip Drill, please?
I'm of the opinion that the Lego movie is Oscar award winning.
It's that good.
I think it's hilarious. And I loved it. And
all right. So whatever with that. But I guess on the McNeil and Spiegel show, they addressed the problem. I guess it's the same radio station, but different people.
It's not so bad in the studio. I was expecting the worst. Apparently, there was an accident on the overnight shift. Somebody did something in here, and
a crapsident, I believe.
I've never heard that. I like that.
Yeah, I've just made it up, I think. But I don't know. Yeah, there was one.
Mully said it was awful on the show today. I heard him, and I guess Dustin, to his credit, came in here and did everything that a producer is, you know, above and beyond what you would expect, and cleaned everything up. I guess there was some mopping going on the tile floor, but I was expecting I was expecting much worse, and to be truthful with you, I'm kind of disappointed.
Well, you should have been here at 5. I assume that's when the problems began. It would have to be George Brett's straight water. If we're talking about something getting on the floor, I mean, there's no drippage that could take place otherwise.
Yeah, it had to be.
Awaits. It's interesting that
it had to be liquid.
It is interesting. It really is.
So, yeah, dude shit on the air. Doing a radio show.
I mean, he couldn't just play a clip or something, go to the bathroom.
Right. He could just say, hey, guys, I love the practice rant by Allen Iverson to walk out for 6 minutes.
Yeah, like he could have say, you know what? You want to hear Michael Jordan? Because that was in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear his Hall of Fame speech, and then I'll dissect it.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
He didn't even have to say I'll be back.
We're going to play the entire speech unedited. We really want to hear what he has to say, guys. It's a very important moment in sports. Roddy White was talking shit on Twitter and lost a bet. He said if Mercer beat Duke, he'd give a fan season tickets to the 50-yard line of all the Falcons games. Then he said, since you're a Bears fan, the Mercer Bears, I lost the bet, but I'm only going to give you tickets to one game, the Chicago Bears. And everybody on Twitter was like, nigga, you are a piece of shit for this. Mm. Like, own up to your bet.
You think he's strapped for cash right now?
I don't know, but he did own up to the bet. So.
Good for him. I wonder who made him. I wonder if his mama called him and was like, now Roddy? What you think his mama called him?
She called him Roddy. My dad's name is Roddy, so I can see it.
Roddy? I told you, boy, about going against your word. You're making the White family look bad.
What's wrong with you, Roddy? You out here making us look like Welches.
Now, I can't even go to the church anymore because the women look at me and they sit there and talk about how you treating people. And no son of mine go around making up fibs and stories, promising people things, and then don't follow through.
What's this I hear about you lying about giving bets out on the internet?
You gambling now? You got a problem, baby?
I raised you better than this.
No, mama. It ain't that. I said I was going to get the man some tickets. Well, did you get the man some tickets? Well, see what had happened. Wait a minute. Hold on, boy. Don't get sassy with me. I'm still your mama. Did you get the man some tickets? I'm working on getting him the tickets, mama. Well, all right then, baby. That's all. I'm just saying because Miss Perlene down at the church, she been saying some bad things about you. And I told her, not my son.
Right. We're not gonna have this now in the White household.
Yeah. So, and then I got in the Mercedes you bought me. Thank you, baby. Mm-hmm. And, I drove on off. But I told her not to be talking about my baby because my baby, man, his word, I raised you better than that. I know you know better than to be Satan making up things. And now you gambling out here?
Mm-hmm.
When I see you, boy, I'm going to have your daddy talk to you about that because you know I don't believe in no gambling. I know you weren't playing cards. No, you weren't playing that game. That game they call spades. No, you weren't playing that.
Everything is awesome. Everything. Yeah,
that's his mama had to fix that problem. It had to be his mama.
Have you seen the Lego movie?
I have seen Clyder with a Chance of Meatballs, too, though.
Okay, all right, man. It's so good.
Where went my nephew?
Yeah, you got to watch the Lego movie a little bit more often. Get out there and have some fun, y'all. We got a juicy wet one in our building. Someone's having a crapsident. What does that do with sports? I don't know.
You just made that up?
I think so. I think I just did. Think so. Hashtag crapsident. Oh, looks like we also have a fartastrophe in the studio today.
Can I just say that if I ever got the opportunity to actually be on a radio or TV sports show with Rod, I would watch sports.
Mm-hmm.
And actually become maybe a little more knowledgeable about
that. I would do the same shit we do here. We would be off the air in a week.
Nope.
People would be mad as shit. They'd be mad at Dan and Bo and them, and they talk about sports.
I would have to because I couldn't have you actually embarrassing me on TV.
Nah.
My mama would see it then.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I feel you.
My mama would see it then.
I'd be coming in talking about BET and cut for an hour and a half, getting us kicked all the way off the air. Like, yeah, man, and we'll be sitting over there, talking about VT and cut and shit. Motherfuckers will be like, hey, you on the air caller, what's going on? Hey, I just want to know what you guys think about Mike Vick going to the Jets. Hang up on this guy. Like I was saying. Jay Shan had a song, Baby Mama Drama. Now, let's play this for the fourth time today.
She's my baby mama. She be cheating on me. Talking about child support.
Miguel Cabrera got all the money.
Not so. Not part.
All the money.
Got a little pay raise. He got a pay raise.
Teach your son to play baseball.
Told you, man. Baseball is that sport.
Good Jesus. $292 million. What they do that
in
at?
10 years.
What?
10 years.
Nigga, that's so much money
to play baseball.
If you give me $292 million, I'm gonna be ignorant from here on out. I'm not even trying to be good at my sport no more. I've done it. I won.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, this is better than a championship.
This is guaranteed money.
Guaranteed.
Y'all.
I would get so, dude. I would come to camp 400 pounds. I'd be eating pizza during in the dugout. Be talking about bitches, be cussing during interviews.
He could talk about all the gays he wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Oh,
or if
goodness.
He wanted to talk about him sucking dick, he could suck all the dicks he wanted.
Yeah, he can say he's untouchable. And anytime somebody says something about Rod, well, I think what you said was problematic. $292 million, nigga. Well, sir, what does that have to do with 290? I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Everything is awesome. $219 million. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here?
You think he would do an Allen Iverson practice rant?
Oh yeah, he would have a few low. You know what? He would be so rich, he could get somebody else to do his press conferences for him. He could literally have Allen Iverson. He like, Allen Iverson, I don't feel like talking about this shit. Can you please come talk to these niggas about why I'm not practicing?
Did he tell Jay-Z thanks? Did he call Jay-Z and tell him thank you?
Because if
it wasn't for Jay-Z getting Robinson Cano that money, it wouldn't be possible for him right now.
Yep. This is just Jay making the competition heat up, man. That's what he does best. But, all right, it's about that time, man. Got to talk about it. You know, it's probably end up being the longest segment of the show. I don't know. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I want to sing so loud for you. I'm so proud of you.
Let me tell you what Kobe about to do.
Black people shocked to find out Kobe Bryant don't give a fuck about y'all. At least that's how it appears. Now, personally, I feel like this story has a lot of different elements, and I actually want to talk about them all. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant, this is the title of a ColorLines.com article. Kobe Bryant wasn't impressed by Miami's Trayvon Martin protest by Jamila King. Salacious headline at best. In the March 31st edition of the New Yorker, there's a great profile on Kobe Bryant by Ben McGrath, which none of you niggas will ever read because it's 37 pages.
Yeah, I won't be reading it.
Yeah, I actually bought a subscription to the New Yorker so I can read it because I like this thing called, what is it called? Context. Whatever you're about to go in on somebody, I kind of like to have the full story, but okay. Mm-hmm. Brian talks about aging out of his Hall of Fame career with the Los Angeles Lakers and how he thinks his fame is pretty fucking cool for a kid who grew up in Italy and moved to suburban Philly as a teenager. Throughout his career, Brian's been talking about as an outsider, specifically when it comes to being the most famous person in the world in a sport that's overwhelmingly black. It's given him a politically moderate stance on things, which was on display when McGrath brought up the subject of LeBron James posting a photo online of the Heat players dressed in hoodies in solidarity with Trayvon Martin. He says, I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to because I'm an African American. He said, the argument doesn't make any sense to me. That argument doesn't make any sense to me. So we want to advance as a society and a culture, but say if something happens to an African American, we immediately come to his defense. Yet you want to talk about how far we progressed as a society? Well, we progressed as a society, then don't jump to somebody's defense just because they're African American. You sit and you listen to the facts just like you would in any situation, right? So I won't assert myself.
That sounds like what you said at the beginning of the Trayvon Martin case.
Niggas really took this and ran with it as if he said, George Zimmerman was right. I congratulate him. I'm glad he shot that menace Trayvon Martin. And obviously, I'm okay with it. Which is not what he said. Mm-hmm. Basically, they just said, would you have taken, like, what'd you think about them posting that picture? He's like, yeah, I didn't know what the fuck it was about. So if I would have did it, it would have been just because he black and I'm black and I'm just going to take this picture without knowing shit.
Yep.
Kobe don't keep up on shit like this, right?
It wasn't basketball.
It's not basketball. He's a basketball machine and he's not about this kind of shit. Like, he doesn't do politics. He doesn't do current events. He doesn't do music. Like, this dude only does basketball.
Now, if it was related to homelessness, he might would have been aware about it.
He does. He's a pillar of the community. And he does help people. But even he'll tell you, like, he tries to have international causes. He tries to have universal causes. He's not a quote-unquote race man.
Right. And the thing about it is, when I read it, that quote right there, I was like, it makes sense. Like, I'm not going to prejudge a situation just because a black person and a white person involved or two different races involved. I'm going to base it off what actually happened and make my decision from there and not just defend somebody just because they black. You know what I mean?
The problem is when Kobe Bryant says this kind of shit to me, I feel like Kobe says it as an outsider. He's not really a part of the black culture in the U.S. necessarily.
But what does he have to do to keep proving his black card?
Like, I don't think he should have to do anything. I think by just the fact that he's a black man in America, he's black, and everybody, it's okay for black people to have different points of view.
But I guess I don't what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I don't think it's up to him to be locked in step with everybody else on all the topics. I also think it's okay for people to not like him because of this and whatever, right? It happens.
Yep.
But here's the thing I've been saying about Kobe for a long time, since he was 17. Niggas don't like Kobe Bryant in general.
Yep. They didn't.
Because I actually like him as a basketball player, and anytime I bring it up, it gets personal. People call names. People accuse him of, you know, being a sellout, not being all this shit. And that's been happening since he was 17.
They was mad he went to the prom with Brandy.
Dude, he got booed for going to Philly and winning the All-Star Game MVP. He grew up there as a teen. You know what I mean? He's originally from Italy, but he grew up in Philly as a teen, played high school basketball in Philly, and motherfuckers booed him there. But yes, and yesterday people was trying to, like my man Sarone Russell was like, no, black people like Kobe. No. I know. And if you think they do, then you had a completely different experience with Kobe Bryant and talking about him than I have. Cause almost every nigga I know is like, I respect him as a basketball player, but fuck that nigga.
You know, when I think about even the guys that wear his shoes at the gym.
Yeah.
It's none of the black guys will even wear Kobe shoes. It's Adam.
Right. Niggas do not fuck with Kobe like this. And he's been catching hell for a long time. He got hell from his peers when he first got to the league. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan tried to take him under their wing. And they were like, he basically was like, no, I'm going to be my own man. I'm good. I don't need your mentorship or your guidance. I just want to be a good player and do my job. And they was like, fuck this little nigga. He think he better than us. His own players turned on him because they was like, hey, go to the club with us, get these bitches, do all this shit. And he was like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to play basketball as my job. Like, that's what I want to do. I'm 17. I'm not going to the club drinking. I'm not going to the strip club. I just want to do basketball shit. And they was like, oh, this nigga think he better than us. Fuck him.
They want him to do hood rat shit with his friends.
Yeah. And he been catching this since he was 17. I think if you do, like, as a community, if you ostracize a person from the time, their formative years until now, they are going to develop some unhealthy associations. I shouldn't say unhealthy. I guess we all can have some unhealthy, but they're going to form some negative relationships with not just racism, the concept of race and raciality, period.
Yeah, he disassociates with just, I'm separating the world as black and white.
Right. He's like, he refuses to do it. Even when the world does it, he's like, I'm not going to just fall into that category. Like, I guarantee, and by the way, this is one of the reasons I'm pissed that Ben McGrath did this. I really wish a black journalist could have asked this question, because they would have at least got follow up on it. This is not something you put in an article and just leave it that. But it's very manipulative of what the New Yorker did, because they clearly leaked this to get outrage from the Twitter community and from black people, and it worked. It's a very, very long article. This is clearly the most salacious part of the article that they could promote. The whole fucking article isn't really about this shit. But it generated enough heat to make everybody go, oh, fuck Kobe Bryant, and now I'm going to go click on the shit. And that's sad, because it's 2 years later after this boy has died. This is a profile about Kobe Bryant's retirement and basketball career. Let's be honest. What does this have to do with anything with basketball?
But that's what I was wondering. Why would they even ask him about a Miami Heat photo about Trayvon Martin?
Like, it really is a very, like, we need him to say, because you know, no matter what he says, because this is the part that people don't understand. The question itself is going to be salacious, because there's no answer he can give in America that would not lead to at least a big percentage of the country checking out this article just to hear what was the context. You see what I'm saying? Like, if he would have said, actually, I think Trayvon Martin, got killed by a man and the justice system failed, and, this is bad. people would have been, it would have been other people that were supporting George Zimmerman and shit that would have been like, oh, fuck Kobe Bryant. I'm never buying shoes again. This is what's wrong with him. So after we supported him through the rape trial, because everybody says that, white and black.
What does he mean, a man? No, yeah. He was more than just a man.
Right.
He was a white man, really Mexican-American. But, right. You know,
or
whatever.
Kayvon Martin's not a kid. He's a grown, he was attacking him. You know, whatever. This is a very polarizing topic. There was no right answer this motherfucker could have had to this, right? I think, and also, like Elon James White hit me on Twitter and was like, well, when you're asked something like this, you have public responsibility. No, you don't. I don't believe that. But okay.
Yeah, because we don't hold other people accountable for it.
Yeah, you asked me something, I gave you my point of view about the shit. That's the only responsibility I have to this fucking interview.
They've never held Jordan accountable for anything going on.
It doesn't even matter. It honestly, socially. It doesn't even matter. I'm doing an interview. This is not me. Like, if I ask you a question in an interview, you don't go, okay, well, let me go Google the facts and then come up with a proper statement for you to, you know, I don't want you to be able to take this and like sell copies. So let me figure out a way. They asked him about Trayvon Martin. He gave his point of view, which is, I'm not going to just rush out there only because he's black. Right. And I'm going to hit this shit with a big joker later. But the point being, as a setup, I don't think what he said was any different than how I felt about it when I first heard it. Like, you can't just trot black in front of me and have me go for live bait. I need to know the facts. So yeah, once I know the facts, I'm like, cool, we can do this. Like, let's go discuss it. Cause now I'm armed with knowledge, you know? So I think as a general point, that is, you know, that's correct, you know? And I feel like he was actually kind of trying to play it safe, which was to say like, well, you got to kind of know the whole thing before you do something like that, which is basically what his point was. Here's where people got mad, really. People are mad because of what this statement says about us. And what they're even more insecure about is that it might be kind of true. I don't think it is true, but people are reacting very defensively because it could kind of be true. Would we care if he wasn't black? Did we react very aggressively because he was a black kid? I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I got upset was because he's black. And you can't separate it from it. You know what I mean? Like, on a very cynical look at race, I see his point. I don't agree with it, but as a cynical way for an outsider to look at it, I think what he's done is because of his complicated relationship with racism and being kicked in and out of black culture at will and being told all these things that he is and isn't. He has chosen to opt out of a lot of this shit because it's not healthy for him mentally, and he's got other shit to worry about.
He tired of earning his black card, man.
Yeah, this is the same dude whose parents wouldn't talk to him for 2 years because he married a Mexican girl. Or a Latina girl, whatever. Yeah. You know, I don't want to sound like Carmelo.
No disrespect.
Yeah, no disrespect to Carmelo. But
no disrespect to the Mexican Hispanic.
Yeah.
Fuck Carmelo and his strong ass self. Come raise your kids.
But the thing is, he married a woman and his parents didn't like, he cut his parents off and they cut him off. This is the background of this person, you know, and when Elon was talking to me, he was like, well, it doesn't matter your background. You can overcome being ostracized. I did. And I'm, you know, super black now. And it's like, yeah, but I'm talking about why you shouldn't ostracize people in general for shit that they can't control when they're young, because you will grow them into these callous type of people who are like, I don't want to deal with this. I've been hurt by it my whole life, and it's easier for me to just not talk about it or to not even get involved than it is for me to take a stance, because I don't feel that love coming back.
You know what's crazy too is it happens so much more in society than like you said than we want to admit.
Yeah, people kept telling me it was because he was rich.
No, it's,
I know niggas at the Y that think like this.
Think about all the biracial children that you meet that maybe don't identify with their white side of the family, right, or don't identify with the black side of the family. Right, and they definitely probably didn't feel one way or the other about Trayvon Martin just because he was black. They felt a certain way because maybe it was a tragedy that this 17-year-old unarmed kid was killed, but not just because he was black. And I think that's the message Kobe was trying to say, that he didn't identify with just black culture.
Right. And now the other thing about this, and I hate when this happens. I personally am a stickler for this. I would love to know how the question was asked. Cause people don't start sentences like that. I won't react to something just cause I'm supposed to, because I'm African American. How was this question asked to get this phrasing? You know what I mean? Well, like if someone says, like if the question is this, does it change your mind any if the question was, so Kobe, you're black and some of the black players on the Heat took a photo in solidarity with Trayvon Martin. What do you think about that? Well, I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, because I'm an African American. Mm-hmm. That sounds way more fucking reasonable than just, so Trayvon Martin, hey, black people, I don't react to shit because I'm black and y'all need to stop. That's not what he said.
Kobe, as a black man, why didn't you take a team photo with the other black players in solidarity like the Miami Heat?
Right. So that was part of it, right? And then, like, Elon was like, it doesn't really matter what your background is. And I was like, first of all, I'm discussing nuance. Don't take my shit out of context. But more importantly, you should never dismiss, especially another black man's background. Because that is, to me, in the irony of that is exactly what happened to Trayvon Martin, where they tried to erase his like everything about his upbringing and just cast him in a certain light so people could be mad or be happy or what, you know what I mean? Like, there was no nuance to it. And so when you take the nuance out of shit, and I know people make their living off of these political discussions and these debates and they go back and forth and it's like, fuck context, I'm gonna be mad, I won't call this motherfucker out. And I'm like, a human being is a sum total of experiences and parts and opinions and shit. You don't arrive at those shits magically by yourself. Things happen, and some things can shake people in a bad way or good way depending on how you view it from young ages. And when you kind of put a lot of pressure on a kid like Kobe, you know, at 17, racially, a lot of times dudes are like, I'm opting out because I don't truly understand American black culture in the way that Jim Brown does.
Mm-hmm. And especially having a strained relationship with your parents. Like, you living in the country with one of your parents and you move over here and then, you know, now you're predominantly spending time with this other parent. And you move from a country like Italy to Philly?
Just last
Philly
year.
Philly people, they booed Santa Claus.
Just last year, his mom tried to sell his memorabilia because he bought his mother-in-law a house. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's shit like that that I'm like, this is all part of this dude's upbringing. And it matters. You know what I mean? You can't dismiss it and just go, fuck. Well, I mean, you can. Obviously, you can do that to anybody. You can do that to me right now. You know, it's nothing I can
do
about it.
They tried to do it to Tiger Woods and then recanted.
Yeah, but I think there's a, you know, and I don't think you have to like him, and I don't think you have to agree with him. I actually don't agree with the, like, if I was him, I would have not said it this way. Just because, you know, I'm me, and I know more about it, and I know how people would view it. But I think a lot of people don't care about what this says about Kobe Bryant. They don't care about him as a human being at all. What they really are mad about is what it says about us who reacted to it and us who were involved in it, because it's very dismissive of us. And it's basically saying like, oh, there's a group of people out there that reacted to this only because of blackness. And everybody goes, no, not me. It's like, well, the interview is not about us, y'all. This is just what he thinks about the idea of reacting simply because of you're black. And he was called out by Jim Brown. And I think, if nothing else, this kind of justifies what Jim Brown was saying. Even though, you know, he probably said in a very rough way on Arsenio Hall show, he said Kobe is somewhat confused about culture because he was brought up in another country. And Brian went on Twitter, said, a global African American is an inferior shade to American African American? ? Hashtag, that doesn't sound very hashtag Mandela or hashtag Dr. King, sir. You know, shit, cramping my leg. But, yeah, man, I just think that it in general is so like dismissive to just throw dude away. But that's what people been doing their whole life. Like, you remember when the shit went down to Colorado and everybody just harped on, like, yeah, man, he a snitch.
Yep.
He snitched. I'm like, he don't know shit about stop snitching campaign and all this shit. he was trying to, I mean, he brought up Shaq to try to barter off some charisma. He didn't know they were going to leak that, that interrogation to the press. That shit's supposed to stay in that room.
Yeah, he thought by saying, you know, I'm doing what Shaq does all the time, they was going to be like, oh, well, cool then.
Yeah.
Let me sign this autograph for me, Kobe, and right, we'll let you be on your way.
He thought they were going to be like, so Shaq says he offers money and then they the problem goes away? Well, I guess we can run that bar. He was just trying to tip, like, without incriminating himself and being like, can I just give her $20,000? He'd basically be like, well, I got a friend that said you can give him $20,000 and they'll let it go.
Yeah, he grew up real quick after that.
Yeah. But even then, you know what I thought was very telling during all that shit with Denver, Colorado, and everybody talking about the optics of race and how this looks for Kobe Bryant, and this another black man who's being, set up, blah, blah, blah. Kobe Bryant never mentioned race once.
Yeah, he didn't go to Farrakhan. And,
he don't see the world like that. You know, I think it's painful for us as black people when someone tells us they refuse to see the world like that. I've had it recently happen to me with somebody I care about a lot. And it was like very like dismissive, I think, of my point of view on a lot of stuff. But I had to accept it because at the same time, I realized that on an individual level, every single person just about is doing the best they can to protect themselves and their own mental health. And to me, what I read in this was a sense of self-preservation from Kobe, from a man who's been scarred from race and not truly able to understand or grasp it, the complexity of it in America through his experience. And it seems to me like he checked out because he's like, I don't get it. And I don't find it beneficial to dwell in it. It's mentally not healthy for me. And as a black man, I'm going to walk away from this kind of shit. I'm not going to invite the antagonizing of myself by being like, oh, let me take a picture with this hoodie on. Because he's like, and then it's going to turn into Kobe Bryant, a political figure, and Kobe Bryant, you know, the guy who people are going to be on all the time. And I don't have to do that just because I'm a black guy. I don't have to put on this hoodie. And on that level, I agree. He don't have to. You know, it's the characterization that the implied characterization that other people did it because they're black and nothing else. You know, that's the problem that people have, is this like, why are you talking about me? But the question not really about us, it's about him.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. So that's like, that's one of the reasons I didn't get mad, but it's one of the reasons I also wanted to like add some type of background and context to it, because it's like, you know, I find Kobe Bryant to be fascinating. But when you see people just marginalize somebody, especially a black person who's not in lock, sync, and step, it really unnerves me, especially when it's somebody who's not saying, in my opinion, he's not saying something that is actually demeaning of black people, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kobe's the type of dude that he probably was part of the international club in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, and like you said, he's not looking at it just from the black perspective. He's looking at it from an international perspective. He's from a global perspective.
You know what's funny, Justin? If I asked anybody, that listens to our show, anybody that had any amount of concern for the Trayvon Martin case, killing, and the George Zimmerman trial, if I asked any of those people, if I said, is the only reason you care about this because you're black and he's black, I would say a high 90% would say no. It's injustice. He wasn't going to be looked at. The reason other people don't care is because he's black. But me personally, it's not just that I'm a black person. That's not why I care. It's bigger than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's injustice. That's why I give a fuck.
Yeah, you can't walk around here killing kids, unarmed people.
Yeah, I really think, maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I really think most of the people in our audience would not simply just go, it's black. Because if that was the case, we'd be running after everything, dog.
And you know the other thing, too, is, man, is that being that Kobe was raised in Italy, I'm sure he's aware of the civil rights movement and things like that. However, it wasn't ingrained in his head every 5 minutes that, oh, you know, black people had to do this to be able to vote, and your ancestors had to do this and that. He didn't grow up hearing that all the time. So for a lot of other people that did grow up in American society, they viewed it as, oh, another black person being mistreated. And the court system, you know, denying black people their rights for a fair trial and the family a fair trial, things like that. Whereas Kobe just looked at it as, this is another stupid killing by somebody else out here killing kids.
Right.
And that's kind of his perspective on a lot of things. It's not just, like you said, like, you know, for people to just minimize his upbringing, then you don't understand his thought process.
Right. And then you wonder why people have a callousness towards the community. You wonder why people have a cynical outlook on race. You can't, like, this is how you create somebody that doesn't care, is by completely going, I don't give a fuck what your opinion is. It needs to be this or fuck you. You know what I mean? I just think it's not really productive, man. So, and it was funny because I was discussing the nuance of it, and people were, you know, some people were showing my mention like, well, what about this? What about that? Well, don't you, that shouldn't he have to do this? And I'm like, nah, that, like, I didn't say he was right. I didn't even say I agree. I just said, because people were saying, like, he shouldn't have said anything. I'm like, when did we start being like, oh, if it's unpopular, you can't say it? When Muhammad Ali was talking about Vietnam, should he have not said that? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think people just got so defensive because they read so much into it. But it's like, it's one quote taken out of context of an entire fucking write-up. I don't think that you can simplify it down to just being like, well, this is the end. He clearly hates black people. You know what I mean? Like, but that was the, most people were just on some, hey, I hate him. He's a sellout coon, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I do think, you know, he's arrogant and he's an asshole and he's a dick and he's all this shit. But I don't think that that precludes him from, I don't think that means that his thoughts on this weren't valid or even worth discussing. So, but here's the thing. And this is kind of a trump card to all this shit. You know, people were ranting and raving all morning about it. He goes on to Twitter, posts a tweet. Trayvon Martin was wronged. That's my opinion. And that's what I believe the facts showed. The system did not work. Hashtag my opinion. Hashtag tweet your thoughts. So why is everybody mad again? Because that's exactly the fucking conclusion I came to was, oh yeah, once I knew the facts, yeah, we should talk about it. I remember when I first heard about this on the show, I remember being like, well, I'm not going to bring it up because I don't know shit about it yet. I have to go find out what happened. I remember this. People sent me the article or just said, well, y'all talk about Trayvon Martin, the black kid was shot. And I was like, okay, I need more than that. Because if I go on fucking the podcast, I'm out. A black kid was shot by a white man, and then just like don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I feel like I let everybody down with my responsibility to the show. Like, you know, I would like to bring forth the most information I can. I remember somewhere my man Felt Five wrote us about Keith and the girl. He's like, what about their opinion on this? They don't seem to be very educated on this, and they should do. And I was like, everybody's not gonna be educated on this because everybody's not gonna care as much as I do. They're not gonna care as much as you do either. You know what I mean? Like, these people are still human beings. They got other things that they're looking at that they're like, oh, this is more in my purview. A lot of people's association with race is very tepid. It's not, they don't jump in feet first and really go through the muck and the mire and want to be fascinated by it and considerate of it. And also a lot of people are patient. You know, Kobe Bryant, 9 months ago, 2 days after the verdict, posted on Instagram. He later deleted it. He said, this is after the Zimmerman was let off. He says, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an unorganized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. Frederick Douglass. But, you know, Kobe's just a sellout, buffoon, idiot that's, you know, doesn't care because you saw a quote in a salacious article to get you riled up on Twitter.
Man, I think he just need to earn his black card back, go do some hood rat stuff with his friends, like host a day party during CIAA.
Talk about his baby mama drama.
Or, right, get him a baby mama out here. Or, you know, he needs to do something like that. Like, he needs to get his side chick pregnant.
Some dude hit him up after he said that on Twitter and said, I believe the fact didn't show enough of what exactly happened. None of us know exactly what happened except Trayvon and George. And Kobe said, maybe you have your opinion. I have mine. Nothing wrong with disagreeing. That's the kind of person he is, dog. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I find it very fucking, I hate when we as black people put ourselves in this fucking prison where it's like, oh, you have any, like, you step out of this at all, you're a bad person. Oh, you want to attack this with some nuance? Are you trying to think about it? Are you trying to say that it might be a complicated relationship with race and your mental health? Are you trying to say some people just react because black shit?
The conversation don't go like that. It goes, oh, you think you're smarter than me? You think you're better than me? That's where the conversation goes right there.
It was fucking weird, man. Like there were people I just had to ignore yesterday on Twitter because they were all up in my mentions trying to fight me for being like, well, you know, it's a lot of factors to this. No, fuck that. Man. He said he shouldn't have said that shit.
Kobe needs to stop supporting his stance, flash his gun to his woman and kids and see what happens. Go from there. Just YOLO, man. Just go from there, Kobe. Just stop being responsible.
He explained his fucking points, man. I'm glad that I'm really thankful for the older Kobe that isn't scared to talk about shit. Cause this is one of those things Michael Jordan would have never done. Michael Jordan probably still ain't said a word about Trayvon.
He won't either. Not in public.
Yeah, not in public. But
where's his Al Callan? I need somebody that knows everything about Jordan that'll actually talk.
But yeah, I appreciate it, man. I like the different point of view. I really hate that shit is getting so negative. And like, honestly, man, like, even on my like Twitter and shit, I'm considering tapping out on a lot of these motherfuckers. Like, I'm about to end up unfollowing a lot of people because it's just too stressful for my mental health to see these niggas go through this shit every day, fighting and fussing about black shit all the time. Like, it's all, like, it can't be a fight every goddamn day, man. You know what I mean? You can't wake up ready to fight about everything every day. I mean, you can, but I ain't gotta be there for it. You know, I understand his perspective, even if I continue to, even if I continue to try to get into it. But yeah, man, I saw people say some shit yesterday, man. I really was surprised to see people say, like, you know, as a black man, I'm not going to his background don't matter to me. Like, nigga, that's all we got. If it don't matter to each other, then it don't fucking matter. You know what I'm saying? If my background is a black man, if we're talking about blackness and black issues, and you tell me I don't care how you were raised, what your association is with this shit, you just gotta do, nah, fuck that. Then we already can't agree, cause it does matter all the situations that make us different. We're not just a fucking monolith.
If you don't know D Nice background, you'll never understand D Nice. D Knight.
Yeah. You're right.
You know what I mean?
I feel like you can't love yourself and you can't love us as a people if you don't understand that we are different, and that does not make somebody not valid. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, man, I know this is going to sound crazy controversial, but there's black Republicans that shit on black people that I still have sympathy for because I feel like it's a reaction to the fact that they can't untie themselves from blackness. You know what I'm saying? Like, even those people who I'm like, man, fuck Herman Cain. Like, fuck him. Like, he is the worst. But I know that even his harebrained solutions to racial issues is somehow deep down a reaction to the negativity that comes with being black in America. And even as he tries to disassociate himself from it, which he never will, he never can, it's impossible, even as he does that, it comes from a place of hurt, where he's been hurt somewhere. And his reaction is this crazy ass Magneto take on blackness. You know what I mean? Like, oh, black people just being sheep and we being manipulated and, you know, we don't need help. We can do it ourselves. We just as good as anybody. Like, deep down, that shit comes from somewhere where he's just been hurt. You know what I mean? I think the same shit happened with Kobe. I think the same shit happened with all of us, man. And, like I said, man, I think the dude basically said, whoa, 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 let's think about this. And people went, fuck you mean, think about this. You black. That's the end of it. And it's like, don't prove them right, motherfuckers. Don't prove them right. Like, take some time to think about it. Think about what he said. Think about the context of it. Go read the whole fucking thing. Oh, you don't want to do that because it's what, 17 pages?
And it could be more to his answer.
Dude, it's so much shit in that thing, man. I'll answer questions after this, but Phil Jackson said something that I thought was so fucking poignant about Kobe Bryant. He said, Kobe, you know, Kobe's from Italy and, you know, traveled all over and shit. So he's like, it's difficult with Kobe because a lot of times you end up mistaking his worldliness and his focus for maturity. And I can't think of a better way to sum up Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't always been mature, but we've always treated him like he was a fully formed adult from the time he was 17, because he does know a lot more about the world than a lot of black basketball players coming in the league at that age. Obviously, he talks well. He speaks fucking Italian. He's been places. He loves talking about basketball and he wants to be the best at it. And you just go, yeah, that dude got his priorities, right? He knows everything. And then you find out like, oh, he actually had to marry his wife because he kind of got blackmailed into that. He fucked some chick in the ass that he had just met in Denver when he should have been there getting rehab. He won't listen to his teammates, that tried to mentor him. He was a very bad leader. Even once he became leader of the team, he even said so. He had to go read books about leadership and what to do. Like, you know, those are things that I always kind of would have assumed Kobe just was born knowing. You know what I mean? And you find out later, like, yeah, he not perfect. He just a dude that seen the world. So, that was kind of a long this weekend, mama. But yeah, I would never presume to throw somebody under the bus just for the fact that they said, wait, let's think about this. That's too far for me. And, you know, I don't say you got to agree with it. You can still say fuck him. I get it. I definitely am not a person that's like, you can't say fuck somebody when you don't agree. Don't agree with them. That's fine. But don't get on me for being like, let's look at the whole thing. You know, I don't want to hear that shit. But you try to look at the whole situation from the whole big picture's perspective. Fuck you.
You want to watch the whole movie?
Right.
Nigga, I want to leave after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. Like, you ain't got to be in my timeline. What,
like, did Tyler Perry write the movie? No. It's a Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. It's so sad, too, because honestly, dude, the way black Twitter is, they'll be outraged about some different shit in, like, 2 hours.
It's probably already.
It was so fucked up. By the time he actually clarified exactly what he meant, which you really can't do in an article like that, on Twitter, people were over it.
It's old news.
I'm like, but he proved y'all wrong just now. Oh, nah, we off of that. He backpedaling. Is he backpedaling or is he fucking explaining himself?
Because
you
angry.
Took one sentence. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you took an excerpt of this show, I'm sure you could come up with something that makes us look fucking terrible. And then if I went on Twitter and was like, well, actually, it was part of a gag and we don't think that. We just do that joke every once in a while and we use this instead of practice. Oh, he backpedaling, y'all. Am I backpedaling, motherfucker, or am I telling you what happened? Yeah. Like, well, somebody tell me, it doesn't matter how you explain it. That's the only thing that matters in the world. It's how you explain it.
Not the listeners of this show, though.
Yeah, not you guys.
You guys are actually responsible.
Yeah, you guys listen to the whole show. You guys are sweet. But anyway, yeah, good. I'm not even going to talk about the Colbert shit today, but I'm sure I'll talk about it Sunday or something. But yeah, like the Colbert shit. Cancel Colbert. Like, so we just fuck context, huh? All right. Prince Laurent says, for clarification, I love the music. It makes me dance is the chorus from VIP by Delph, my favorite uncut joint.
Nah. I'm not gonna let you do that to yourself.
You're not gonna let that be his favorite?
No, I said that he just loved the dance part.
Oh.
Cause I said that, he likes the music cause it makes the women dance.
Oh, yeah.
Then he
gets
to dance with them. So I'm not gonna let him do that to himself.
You wouldn't dance by yourself.
Cause on Vine, you know, dudes that dance, you're not one of those dudes.
Nah. I'm not one of those guys. Come on, man. Let's see. Another one is Garland, right, saying, my brother told me during the timeout at the Pacers and Heat game, Roy Hibbert told LeBron, try to come in this paint again, and LeBron went at that nigga. So that must be why he got that elbow to the face. It's funny, man, because LeBron is a world-class athlete, and I watched that replay like 10 times. I can't tell if he meant to do that or not.
But he watched the old Kobe highlight and see how he did Rajah Bell a few times.
Because he did it perfectly where he never extended the elbow. So it's real difficult to tell if he was like, I'm going to fuck this nigga up. Or if it just was coincidence that he fucked him up. But
I think I'll tell
you
purpose.
This. I'll tell you this much. On purpose or not. Roy had that on purpose concussion.
Roy got knocked the fuck out.
God damn.
But listen.
That nigga failed to stand an 8 count.
Did you see the NBA concussion rules compared to the NFL concussion rules?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get back in the game. If that would have been the NFL, he would have been done getting looked at for the week.
He wobbled coming back into the game.
And they let him play. Wobbled. They really let him play. Like, when he could, like, I thought he was faking it at first. And then when they showed him try to get up, he said, hold up. Let me lay down for a second, get my mind right.
Man, the funniest part was when he stood up and fell back down. Mm-hmm. And George stepped back away from him. He didn't try to grab him so to like hit the ground softly. He moved backwards and let him hit the ground as hard as he could. I was like, this nigga this right here.
Terrible.
But LeBron did it on purpose, man. Because think about your layups.
Mm-hmm.
You don't shoot layups with your elbows pointed out like that.
Mm-hmm.
You extend your arms up.
Yeah, you know what it is? He shot several of those last night. And I'm like, was he trying to hit them every time? And then he just got lucky that time.
Yeah, he found
so then, like, so then, like, why was he missing on the other times? He's still a world-class athlete. Like, how the fuck you only get that one? And then there was another time he went in and he didn't put his elbows up. He got hit in the face.
But that wasn't Roy.
I know, but I'm just saying, like,
that was MBB or what's his name? Mabib.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
Yeah. That was,
you're not surprised that he would only do it to Roy. I figured he would do that shit to everybody.
Nope. Roy was the one talking shit.
It's
just like Kobe and Rajah Bell. He only did it to Roy and some other dude. that he cut off.
How funny was that ejection though by Lance Stevenson?
I loved it,
man. I was laughing so hard. That was such a Fari and Terrence moment where he got all hype about 2 points and Dwayne Wade was like, wait, don't we both got double technicals? And he looked at the ref like, well, what you gonna do?
I loved it.
Yeah, I laughed so hard, man. Lance tried to act like he didn't know what he did. Nigga, you already got one tech.
Yeah, you know,
you clearly talked to this man in his face and then swaggered off down the court like you was the baddest dude in the earth. The ref saw it. It didn't take a leap to call that.
Yeah, you know, you can't be taunting to other players, man. You know the rules. And if you don't know the rules, but you know what though? It goes back to what I said a long time ago. The Indiana Pacers are hood.
Mm-hmm.
And they on the mentality now, like last night game, I think woke them up. Prior to that, they were just like playing in the hood where you go out there and for weeks they'll just be bullshitting around. You be like, I can't get no good run out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, you was like, oh, it's some good run out here. Like, these cats, they actually can ball.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to lull us back in. They're going to start back blowing cats out. But they hood, man. They just hood.
We'll see.
Paul George out there doing hood rat stuff with his friends.
I can't tell if Miami and Indy just got up for each other and they're gonna just basically go the rest of the season like, whatever, it's not as important. Cause I feel like they played that game like a playoff game, but like say they play Charlotte in 2 weeks, they won't. Like they'll just be like, okay, whatever, back to normal.
Not for Lance though. Like not for Lance and Roy, those other guys. Maybe Paul George just started shooting better. Like I think his dunk on LeBron helped wake him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know, man.
He the main problem. I think they're looking back now like, fuck.
Should have kept Granger. Yep. Evan Turner did have some big buckets down the stretch, but yeah, I like Granger more. I really think Granger could have gave you 25 points on any given night.
And maybe just outside shooting. And maybe the difference is Turner not getting enough time in the game. Like, he need more play time.
Yeah, that could be it.
Who they should have traded or got rid of was that fake-ass tough guy they got.
David West. By the way, another reason I don't feel too confident in the Pacers, because everybody's trying to be like, see, it wasn't a definitive win.
Man.
David West hit a three.
A lucky-ass three.
Right. With the clock running down. No, I'm sorry if I just... Excuse me, guys, if I say I don't feel like this makes the Pacers definitively better than the Heat. Even on the last play, the Heat still had a chance. All that, quote unquote, fighting and shit that they did with Dwayne Wade going out injured and shit, the Heat still end up basically being one shot away from going to overtime. I don't know about that.
And Bosh had a clean look.
He did.
Now, he shot terrible last night, but he had a clean look.
Yeah.
And maybe if Dwayne Wade hadn't got hurt, the play would have ran differently for somebody else to take that shot. And they didn't have Ray Allen, who was at home with the flu.
Nobody want to talk about it. All I heard was what Indy didn't have. Well, you know, Roy Hibbert went out for a couple minutes. I'm like,
a few minutes.
I don't know. This Heat team wasn't at full strength either, man. Like, this is going to be a good matchup in the playoffs, man. But I'm still leaning towards the Heat right now. Although I think, you know, the Pacers have a chance to take them seven. Obviously seventh game could be anything, but I feel like what the Pacers did would be harder to repeat than what the Heat did. You know what I'm saying? So that's my feelings. Anyway.
And they still walk in the gym, even though they rarely win in Indiana, they walk in there like, it's our game,
mm-hmm.
and we better than y'all.
As they should. I mean, you know, you should not like concede defeat just because them niggas are the Heat. But I still had this feeling where, like you said, the fake tough guy shit, where it's like, y'all niggas act like y'all expect to win, but y'all don't. When it comes down to it, at the end of the game, if LeBron James has a ball in his hands, y'all actually expect to lose.
They gonna storm the court.
Right, like, yeah.
That type of win.
Yeah, y'all was storming the court for this win. Like, y'all was in the locker room high-fiving hard as shit after this win.
Yep.
You know, and I don't blame him, but I also think it works both ways. LeBron James was more mad about this loss than he would have been about, say, losing to the Wizards. Because he do want these wins. He tried to act like it don't matter, but I know it mattered because I got a little brother. It mattered, dude. You don't want your little brother to beat you, man. I don't give a fuck. You can act like that shit don't matter, but when it happened, you be mad as shit.
You know, I know. I spent a year beating Jeremy just to prove you can't beat me.
Right.
You want to always whoop their ass.
It matters. People try to act like it's shit. Well, you know, guys, it's just one game in the regular season. Word, LeBron, why you so mad?
No.
Why you not talking to the media after the game, though? Because you normally talk to him.
And he want that number one seed. Like, he want not just the beat them every game, but he want that number one seed spot. Why? LeBron was the champions.
LeBron was so mad, he didn't care that Wade got hurt or that Ray Allen didn't play. He was just like, we should have won anyway. It don't matter what happened. He was so mad. I've never seen him do this before. He seemed to be mad that the play wasn't drawn up for him.
Did you see when Wade got hurt and they went to the bench on that timeout?
Mm-hmm.
He gave Wade that this nigga face.
Yeah, like, your ass hurt, huh?
Like, he gave him the face that was on your boy phone from a Heyron case.
Yeah.
When it come up, this nigga.
Yeah.
Like, that's the face he gave him.
Yes.
Like, this nigga.
Yeah.
Like, they tired of it. He tired of Chalmers.
He's like, after all this shit, you getting Lance ejected, you just going to come up limp two plays later.
Again.
Didn't even get touched, huh?
Okay. Yeah, running back on defense.
I hope you didn't pull it fucking one of them bitches. What? Nah, nothing, man. Just, I said, ball out, man.
And he probably know that's why he really gimping from his extracurricular activities. And he tied to Mario. Mario hit the ground hard during that game, diving for a ball. Yeah. Nobody helped Mario.
Nobody helped.
Nobody.
He was trying hard. LeBron failed trying to make that pass. Like, he was, that's how hard he was trying. Yep. Like, he was giving everything, dog. So,
although, one last thing about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Total comedic moment when he got wrapped up and he fell and hit the goalpost.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You saw he pushed off on his left leg to mm-hmm. jump further ahead
and
slide into it.
And when he hit the ground, he tried to use his hands to move further, faster on the ground. Yes. And then he was moving too fast. He tried to slow down. He's like, hold up.
But LeBron don't flop, though.
Yeah.
And he says he don't flop. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love last night's game.
It's so funny to me because it's like, with them finding flopping, why would anybody think that anyone would admit to flopping? Nobody going to be stupid enough to be like, yeah, I flop sometimes. Oh, $50,000? Wait a minute.
And this is why I don't really watch college during the year, because you're not going to get this in college.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Like, if the Heat played the Pacers and the NCAA Final Four was on, I'd watch Heat versus Pacers.
Exactly.
And I'd flip to the other shit during commercials because NBA basketball is so much better. It's not even close to me, by the way. Because, like, the thing about college basketball is, like, going to the YMCA and watching kids play in a pickup game.
Yep.
It's cute. And it's cool because it's even and, you know, both teams got sorry people and all this shit. The NBA, it's like so cutthroat and ruthless. If your ass sorry, they trying to get you up out of there. Like, ain't no, well, we'll just fall back into a 2-3 zone. No, we're going to bust your ass. We're going to find a way to exploit the weakest man on the court at all times. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful to watch.
Just ask Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly no. Philly no for sure. Prince LeBron says, what do you think Macklin would do this year? Get hurt. So I give it to week 8. But probably get injured. Listen, man, I've been an Eagles fan way longer than anything else. And I'm not one of these people that gets very optimistic often. I think letting DeSean Jackson go was a mistake. I think paying Cooper all that money and it caused discord in the locker room, like Justin said on the show, like forever ago. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the real reasons that DeSean Jackson wasn't cool with, like, was like, where's my money? Because I'm better than him.
I said that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Somebody going to want their money.
Somebody going to want the money, dog.
And then they just got that new quarterback and gave him that money?
Yeah.
Sanchez?
They got Sanchez.
They got Barkley, too?
I think people are forgetting that Nick Foles got more than one concussion in his career and has been injured often throughout his career because he had a healthy year, so everybody forgets about that shit. I think Macklin, a little bit injury prone. I hope he makes it through the season. I hope he's okay. But without DeSean Jackson taking the top off of the defense, I don't think people are going to be as open as they were with Nick Foles last year. Cause that was the thing. DeSean Jackson runs a long ass route. All of a sudden you got single coverage on Riley Cooper.
Yep.
You ain't really got to read the field too well. Like, even though I do think Foles showed just tons of proficiency passing that ball.
Man, but you had somebody fast to throw it to.
Yeah. I mean, even if it wasn't him, it was like shit is going to be open. That's not normally open when you got a dude that you have to pay attention to 50 yards down the field. Like, you can't, Macklin doesn't burn like that, like DeSean Jackson. He don't go like that. Riley Cooper's not fast like that. And if you look at most of those acrobatic ass catches Riley Cooper made, it's all one-on-one shit or like the defense lost an assignment because they looking at DeSean. Like, isn't very few of those where like I pass it to Riley Cooper and he makes something out of nothing, you know, or he just flat out beats two men, you know, like very few of those are that. So,
man, look at Seattle. They struggle mm-hmm. without Percy Harvin.
Yep.
And without having that speed out there.
Yeah.
The minute he came back, they started putting touchdowns on the board.
And God forbid if Mark Sanchez has to play a snap. Right? I mean.
Yeah. Or Barkley.
Yeah. I love having Mike Vick over Mark Sanchez.
Because I don't think Sanchez is still able to play from that surgery. He had shoulder surgery. He had to finish the year. I don't think he's able to play yet. So.
Who knows, man? Even if he's able to play, I've seen him play. So why would I want that on my team? I don't know. I'm not as optimistic as other people. I feel like Macklin gets hurt, Foles gets a concussion. Week 3, we're starting fucking Mark Sanchez and Riley Cooper. I'm just going to be looking at the screen like, see, this is my life. And I hope they prove me wrong.
And they released him and not traded him.
Dude, so stupid, man. I'm so pissed about that, man.
Well, like, could you not trade right now? I mean, is that, or could you not just wait and trade?
I don't get why you can't.
Trade them for some draft picks, something?
I mean, you can't wait till the regular season starts and, like, I mean, it's not like he can hold out. He's going to be there.
Was one of his friends at the stadium threatening to kill somebody?
I don't know.
Like, is that how you found out they like to kill people?
All right. He threatened Chip Kelly.
You know what I mean? Like,
watch your back, Chip.
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to prove he was the boss like Jeannie Buss.
I think he did, dude. Because the way he was talking sounded more like, this is not going to be part of our culture. It's like, okay, nigga, you just want to make your bones. All right, man, we're out of here. This has been a pretty good Lyft show. I'm glad you guys stuck around, those that could. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our nuanced thoughts on Kobe and some of our silly shit. We'll be back next week for another Balls Deep, man. Until then, peace out.
Tip your award-winning show, Balls Deep.
Balls Deep.